Podcast Judge!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 136 of Boston Translation. I'm May.
And I'm Jay.
And this time we watch the Data Squad's final battle.
Or Protect the Future, Dats' final battle.
And the ultimate farewell.
Or a complete conclusion, Farewell Street Fighter!
Which is a much better translation than the one that I got from the Wikipedia, which was Leader of Fights.
Farewell, Leader of Fights.
For DigiNews, we don't really have much DigiNews because most of it was covered in the latest With the World podcast, which I was on. But we do have some Lost in News lately, Mon. First of all, our end of season discussion questions will be a bit different this year. I'm going to be putting them up on it as a survey, just one complete survey for all the questions instead of one individual post. And I'll post that on our website and on social media and everywhere. And obviously I'll mention it when it's completed. I've been too busy with my next point, which is Lost News Lately Mom, which is we've released an episode every day since Wednesday, I think.
Kill me.
So we still haven't finished releasing the episodes that we've recorded. So on Sunday, we'll release our tri-stage play episode. And tomorrow, obviously, we're releasing this episode. So you'll probably listen to this tomorrow if you are listening to it on the day it releases. And this week, we have released V-Tamer 9, which is our ninth volume of V-Tamer coverage. And then we also released...
final.
Yeah, and final. And the 10th episode of Lane, we did the coverage for that. And the English dub of Digimon Adventure Tri Confession. So I've done a lot of content this week. We did big, long days of recording.
Can't wait to go back to working full time so that I can get more free time.
Yeah. And obviously we'll be starting next week, which is Digimon Next, which is the next... manga, next week, next.
Say it again.
Next.
Nice.
Next door. Yes, we'll be covering that if all goes as planned, usually the usual date of Wednesday for our monthly podcasts, the manga podcast. So assuming everything goes well, if we're busy, obviously not, but I want to try to keep things on schedule from now on so we don't have to do a week of backlog catch up, which is not fun to do for anyone. But we did it, and hopefully the episodes were quality. And also, I'm now a moderator of With the Will. It was announced in the With the Will podcast and the New Year post that Mark made. So I'm now an
official
moderator.
With the Will staffy. Staff member.
No, I'm a staffy. They're great. They're good dogs. I'm now a moderator of With the Will. So that's pretty exciting. And on to Nox Synopsis. The first episode they're watching this week is called The Data Squad's Final Battle, or Protect the Future, Dats' Final Battle. What do you think will happen in this episode?
So the two things here are going to be, A, they have to fight Yggdrasil in its Yggdrasilmon form, or whatever it's going to be, and they do that, and they're going to be successful, because of course they will. It's going to look like they're not going to be successful, but at the end of the day, they're going to win, and nothing bad will have happened. I'm thinking, the reason it's Dats' final battle is that to save the human world and the digital world and whatever, the final resolution is going to be a separation forever, where there will no longer be travel between the two of them, and as a result you can disband Dats at the end because there will be no Digimon showing up anymore.
Right, so you think Yggdrasil's beaten in this episode?
What's the name of the next one?
Well, we can't do that, right now.
Well, that's important.
Okay, I guess you'll find out in a bit then. Do you think anything will annoy you in this episode?
Yeah, I guess. You can't go into this episode not knowing it's the second last episode. And it's not like you... I know it's a bit of a cop-out to say, oh, well, you know things go well at the end, so there'll be no tension whatsoever. I think, even in the very last episode of Atmon, even though it's a Digimon series and you know it's all going to go well, because you didn't know how it would go, because you didn't know how things would be resolved, there was still tension there. Because this is now devolved into a big fight, you know it's just going to be oh, they'll win the fight.
Right.
One would imagine by all attacking together, and when that fails, Shine Greymon Burst Mode is going to have one final evolution, presumably, and that will tip it all over the line. In fact, it'll be everyone else giving him their strength and unevolving so that he can do it. Because we know who the main character is.
Right, so you think we're just ignoring everyone else now?
Actually, I think that it's going to be... The final blow is going to be Masaru doing a big punch, proving that he's the strongest Digimon of all time.
So Masaru has the final hit.
Yeah, sure, why not? It's thematically appropriate.
Do you think it'll be a good episode?
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be largely boring, but the bits that aren't fighting will be good.
What rating?
So let's give it a 7, optimistically.
Okay, so that's pretty optimistic. And do I even have to ask if it filler?
No, it can't be. Neither of these can be. Oh, the last episode. Big filler episode. Didn't need to exist.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's ever going to happen in any season of anything.
Oh, no, I mean, it can happen, but it's in the situation where, like, the series ended on the episode before, and then they have, like, a beach episode as the last episode.
Yeah, and I think a few anime series do that, actually.
Because the, arguably the second last episode before, like, the 4-episode-long movie of Avatar The Last Airbender was a filler episode. Because it was a recap episode, but done with the play.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. I know that one.
Because nothing happened in that episode. It was filler, but it was, like, it was probably the best filler episode of all time.
Right. The second episode they're watching this week is called The Ultimate Farewell, or A Complete Conclusion, Farewell Leader of Fights. What do you think will happen in this episode?
I love it's called A Complete Conclusion, i.e. you're never getting any more savers. We're done with this.
Right.
This is over.
So what do you think's happening?
Farewell Leader of Fights. Well, it's the end. You get a bit of a goodbye. They're going to beat Yggdrasil, like, actually, finally, right at the beginning of this episode. And the rest of it's going to be wrap-up of, like, how do we save the digital world? Okay, we saved it. That's too bad. Agumon has to say goodbye to Masaru. It's going to be really sad. And all the other goodbyes are going to be way shorter and not nearly as interesting.
Right.
Because what does Lalamon have to say? Bye, I guess. It was cool hanging out with your family I never met. They're not real, are they?
Yeah, we didn't really get a conclusion to her. I feel like her story arc could have gone on more.
All we know is that she's now slightly more confident than she was before. What a great story arc.
Mm.
And yeah, so it'll finish and Masaru will go back home and he'll be the man of the house and he'll never tell his mom that he killed the dad, even though he didn't have to.
Do you think anything will annoy you in this episode?
He'll never tell the mom that he killed the dad, even though he didn't have to.
So you think that's going to be a secret? Like, that? Oh yeah, we never saw the dad.
Like, why would he tell her, oh yeah, I killed him, but also it's fine because he wanted to die? You know, that guy you wanted to see for 10 years and the last thing you saw of him was his body being evil? Yeah, I killed him, so you don't get to have closure. Sorry.
Do you think it'll be a good episode?
It's the last episode, so you'd think that they'd put all their effort into it. But, like, I'm not sure this story can conclude in a way that may be enjoyable. It will either be a mediocre, okay, that's the end of this story, or it will be bad. I just don't have hope that it will, like, conclude in a way that makes me go, oh, I miss them. Except for Masaru, who I will naturally miss because he punches things.
He punches things, yeah.
It never got old.
What rating?
5.
5. So you think that's a pretty low last episode rating?
Yes, that's reflective of the things I just said.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's better than that.
I hope so.
So both these episodes were written by the head writer for the series, Yamaguchi Ryota, who also wrote the last 2 episodes as well, which I forgot to mention in the last Obnoxious Synopsis. Whoops. So does that change any of your ratings? Like that
because most of their right. Pardon? Just most of the episodes?
Yes, like most of the episodes, like the first 2 episodes and the last 4 episodes of the season, as well as like some of them in between. The ones before it was Kurata's real plan, true plan.
But, oh, it's trash. It's trash.
But episode 45 and 46 were both really good, and I think we both really enjoyed those ones.
They're all right.
You had complaints, but I gave it a... Well, I gave episode 46 a 10, and I think you gave it an 8.
I know, you gave it a... I don't think I gave it an 8.
No, you had complaints, but you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't think it changes my opinions.
I mean, you'd hope that the head writer's the best, right?
Oh, you would hope so, but that's not... It's not a meritocracy at all, is it?
Right. Well, I guess on to the show. This week, we'll be covering both episodes as one episode because it's more or less like a conclusion of the story in 2 parts, which is one part.
Well, like, it's always when the conversation at the end of one episode is literally continued immediately on the next one, you go, okay, well, this is pretty much the same event.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing that. So, episode 47 starts off with Yggdrasil's true form being there and summoning crystals that go to the human world, and they explode a bunch of buildings, which is quite, like, I don't know, it seems to do a lot more damage than anything else we've probably seen in Savers, maybe even Digimon in general.
You know what they never talk about? How, like, literally a huge section of the city just got vaporized. Like, even when they combine when they separate the 2 worlds again, they never talk about if the holes in reality close up. And assuming that they do, what is replaced there once all the buildings have been destroyed? Because I would guess that dozens of city blocks just got blown up. It's like a small nuclear attack. And at the end of the day, no one talks about it.
But in the dub, a couple of these shots are removed.
Well, that makes sense, because why would you want to show them murdering all these... We assume that people evacuated.
We are told that they evacuated except for Sayuri and Chika.
It's fine. They probably weren't in that huge part of the city.
But it's also implied that the shots, and especially later on as well when he fires similar shots, is that they go all around the world. So it does sort of...
Well, the ones he fires from inside the digital world through the portal?
Yeah. Because we see it go past like pyramids, and I'm pretty sure that there's the Eiffel Tower, and it goes like through different places in the world.
I can't call those images to mind, but I'm going to take your word for it.
Yeah.
And at this point, the characters sort of triple evolve because, you know, the minor characters, they gotta get their stuff in. Can't have full evolutions for everyone, especially because we don't have enough time. And as they go to attack, Yggdrasil grows these big anime vines out of its sleeves, I guess.
Mm.
And it grabs them. These vines look weird. It doesn't look like it fits into the character design of Yggdrasil generally.
Yeah, I actually, when I first watched this, until like it was shown that this wasn't the case, I actually thought that it was just reflecting Rosemond's attack.
For a second I thought that.
Because Rosemond does the attack, and I just thought, Yggdrasil is reflecting Rosemond's attacks like the big crystals did. But no, they're actually attached to Yggdrasil, which I guess because Yggdrasil is like the tree of life or something, and is attached to a tree, and trees have vines.
You know, but oak trees, known for having thorny vines.
Yeah, it just didn't fit.
Trees are not known for having vines. Trees have vines over them, but like they're different plants as far as I'm aware.
But you're right. They did not fit.
Not at all. And to up the stakes, Masaru gets out the Geo Grey Sword, which snaps in about half a second.
Mm.
It's like, oh, remember this thing? Nah, okay. That's not going to happen. Don't worry about it.
Yggdrasil says that this is divine punishment for the human sins. In the dub, Yggdrasil says this is their punishment for challenging a king. So it's explicitly saying, oh yeah, this is because of all your sins to the Digimon and because you're evil people. This is just saying, oh, specifically, this is because you are now challenging a king.
It bothers me so much because, again, the idea of it being a king means like, oh, well, there's a focus on this thing as an individual, and its motivations thus are completely selfish.
Especially because Yggdrasil, we later find out, to have a feminine voice. A
very computery voice.
And then a feminine design.
Yeah.
In episode 48, when we see Yggdrasil's actual design.
Yeah, Yggdrasil's meant to be a queen, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, she's a god, like, or...
No, like, in this version where they have to be royalty instead. Yeah. But I guess the weird thing is, if it was Suguru's body, you can't be like, I'm the queen!
Well, I think it's because the god doesn't have a gender. Like, god is just they.
Yeah, no, a god wouldn't necessarily. But once you're assigning a king or queen title, all like they could have been an emperor. And an emperor and empress are still separable. Yeah, they could have just gone with ruler, honestly. It would have been easier.
Yeah, but they did do say ruler of the digital world, but
they say king.
We'll just call it Drazzle. Ruler Drazzle, are there any non-binary names for a ruler?
There are probably several.
Leader?
That would be
Captain?
Weird. Captain Drazzle.
Yeah, Captain Drazzle.
We already have a captain.
Captain Drazzle sounds like a rapper.
Hey, it's Captain Drazzle. I can't do this anymore because I can't rap.
Rice Krispies. Raw sauce, no sauce.
Oh, that's it. Man's not hot. Drazzle's not hot.
Take off your jacket now. Man's not hot. I kind of love Big Shaq.
Up your jacket.
No, man's not hot.
Thing, it goes skrrr up.
Yeah, but can we talk about Big Shaq for a second? Because I feel like...
No, we can't. Dude, we can't talk about Big Shaqmon. No.
Big Shaqmon? No, he's a genius. But yeah, so that was completely irrelevant because Big Shaq is not a Digimon, unfortunately. Maybe one day, but not today.
And so it fires a big diamond.
No, but before that, so Lalamon says she'll protect the world even if she dies. In the dub, it's the generic line that we've had many times, especially from Lalamon, which is, when we work together, we can do anything! And this is when Yggdrasil's vines come out, and then Shine's Greymon Geoswords breaks immediately. Like, he gets it out, and it breaks.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even do anything, it just breaks. And I feel like the last few times we've got the Geoswords sword out, it's probably lasted about 3 seconds.
Well, it's this time and the last time with the shield. Everything other than that was fine.
Mm.
He would either use it and then say, oh, this isn't working, burst mode. And the last two times, it's just, oh, it snapped. Okay. I'm surprised they brought it back, honestly, because why bother?
I mean, it's better to show it up, like, to actually show it and have a break than not use it at all. Because otherwise it says, well, what about this feature that you've completely removed? What about this mechanic?
Well, it would be one fight later after it broke. Yeah. There's an argument to be made where, like, it breaks once and you go, I can't do it anymore.
I thought when we saw it break, like, a couple of episodes ago, I thought we'd never see it again.
Same. You'd seen this all before, so...
I forgot.
Fair enough. Like, this is a forgettable bit.
Yeah, it's like, I forgot basically all about the Geo Grey Sword from when we were rewatching it, so I guess the Geo Grey Sword was never useful, except for the one episode when it had the generic, like, oh, this is its first appearance.
Yeah, and then it was fine.
So that's Team Get Attacked, and Masaru says as long as he's clinging to life, he'll fight. Gotsumon warns him and says if he gets hit by the attack, he'll die, which is kind of like thanks, Sherlock.
Did you know that if God punches you, you'll die?
Jay, you don't understand. People die when they are killed.
Is this a pigeon?
Yes. So, Masaru's quotes his father, but I don't think he realizes it until like he says it. So he says that in a man's fight, you should be prepared to die. And then he remembers his dad and he realizes that this isn't just a school fight. And then the Dats team says how they fight for this world. So this is a really nice scene where he sort of says, oh yeah, in a man's fight, you should be ready to sacrifice yourself. And then like he has this like realization that this is exactly what his dad said.
I think this is a cool moment, but the problem is that this is not a development of Masaru's character at all. He's already been at this point for pretty much the entire show. We've had three other fights, I think, where he said the words, I will never give up, I'll not stop fighting even if like it kills me, or in various different ways of it. It would make a lot of sense if his character had been based on this idea, very much like Tai, I guess, in Adventure, where like he thought he didn't take things seriously, or he would do these fights and then just assume the rules of real life applied or anything like that, and he never really considered that death was an option. And maybe he had a little arc where he was like freaked out that he could actually die, and then this would be the resolution of it. But he's always been insanely brave.
Mm.
He's never not been this way. This isn't a lesson that he needed to learn.
I know, but it is sort of like he never really said, I'm ready to die. Which, remember,
but it's irrelevant.
But he is a 14-year-old boy, and he's already saying basically he's ready to die, ready to make a sacrifice.
Well, think about what he said to Craniumon. If I get defeated 100 times, I'll get up 100 times. If I get defeated 1,000 times, I'll get up 1,000 times. He knows that failure is an option, and he's going to fight through it until he can't fight through it anymore.
Yeah.
The fact that he said death is an option does not mean that he didn't consider it before.
No, you're right. But I'm just saying that, and I just realized that this, and I think it's easy to forget because of how he's drawn, but he is a 14-year-old. He is extremely mature for a 14-year-old, accepting death and basically growing up because he thought of himself that he had to be the man of the house, and he basically became an adult in the process.
Well, he killed his dad half an hour ago.
Yeah, and he's like, he's handling it pretty well, all things considered.
It's fine.
Like, he is the same age as the characters in Neon Genesis Evangelion, and people like always say, oh, Shinji is so cowardly. Like, no, he's 14. He's 14. He doesn't want to die.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to get in the robot.
Like, of course, like, I think, like, you know, we all say, oh, yeah, I want to be a hero. I want to get in the robot. If you're 14 and you basically said, hey, you might die, a 14-year-old's response should be, oh, no, I don't want to die.
Yeah, but that's also intentionally a deconstruction of mecha anime, which always had the pilots been like, yeah, robots, we love getting in the robot. I think my problem here is I didn't think about it when I was watching it, but Masaru does not for a single moment go, oh man, I just killed my dad for no reason. Like, it never even hits him.
Yes.
And nobody...
I think because he thinks he did it for a fair enough reason.
Yeah, but like nobody identifies like, oh no, this is the problem. Like, there's a tragedy here.
Yeah.
So much so that in the English of the second episode, his mom says something that would be really horrifying with the knowledge that we have.
Mm.
And it's only because it's solved immediately is it not one of the saddest lines in the entire show.
Yes.
We'll get there though, don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll get there. Igil says that he'll remove the reason for fighting and then he flies towards the human world. Craniumon is still holding up the digital world and Chika says that they can't leave him. Igil shows up and calls Craniumon a traitor and tells him to just stand there as he destroys the world. So he starts destroying the world and Chika passes out and Garurumon gets hit and devolves.
That's what it's called. I kept thinking, like, I don't remember what this Digimon's name is. Has it been standing there for an hour watching Craniumon and not helping?
Yes.
Why wouldn't Garurumon help?
I don't think Garurumon thinks she can, but I guess we later find out that they can all try to hold up the world.
Yeah, no, like Garurumon never asks. Literally just floating there with its big wings, not flapping. And Chika's just like, okay, we can wait.
Mm.
She must be bored.
Well, it might not... maybe it was an hour, because like this was quite a while ago, because this was before we found out that Bancho Liamon was Suguru, because they had to replace. So yeah, you're right, this has been like an hour, and Garurumon is like just not being helpful at all.
Absolutely.
Like, out of a list of, like, unhelpful Digimon, I feel like Garurumon's pretty high near the top. Like, the only time that Garurumon was, like, quote-unquote helpful was to fight Craniumon, who was really just there to say hi to Bancho Liamon.
But it wasn't helpful because he didn't do anything.
He thought he was doing something.
Yeah, but he didn't accomplish anything, which is what I meant by, like, him being helpful.
Mm. Yggdrasil says that humans' evil hearts caused all this. In the dub, it's darkened hearts. And I found this was an interesting change because in the original, it's implied that humans are inherently evil and they have evil hearts. in the dub, that when they, the use of the word darkened hearts means that their hearts were fine, but then they were darkened, which I think is, I mean, I don't think I like this change because I feel like Kurata was inherently evil.
Yeah, well, and I think the English did one good thing here, which was to justify Yggdrasil's very weird stance, because when it does the flashbacks, it is, again, really, really obvious that Yggdrasil is basing their entire judgment of humanity on Kurata.
Yep.
And they don't even talk about, like, the mercenaries who are with him. They're not treated as people. So Kurata is the one making the decisions, yes, and it's all based on him.
I think it's because it's sort of, like, the problem with loud minorities of people. Like,
yeah,
when you have, like, really loud people, maybe, for example, let's think of, like, something simple, like, not liking a video game. I like Destiny. I think it's a good game. I really enjoyed it. I'm not really super into, like, the story aspect. I'm more, like, into the gameplay aspect and, like, the aesthetics of a game. And I'm, like, story's good, but, like, it's not the most important thing for me when I play a video game. Mm. So I really like Destiny. It had sort of some story, but I just really thought the game was fun, the gameplay was fun. And I feel like a lot of people also enjoyed Destiny because obviously enough to make a Destiny 2 and lots of DLC. They didn't just abandon it. And there's communities and people who play all the time.
You're right, Bungie would have abandoned their property because Bungie ran out of money.
Yeah. But obviously it was a successful game. However, there is a very vocal minority that makes it seem like no one likes the game because there are just people who are so aggressively anti this game. And maybe, I think it got better because of Destiny 2, because I think Destiny 2, like, apparently improved on a lot of things. That's just what I've heard. I haven't played Destiny 2 yet.
So I've heard. But what I was getting at is that in the English, what Yggdrasil says to justify the fact that it's largely Kurata's fault, they say, where were these loving humans when the digital world was being attacked? Okay, so it's not just, oh, Kurata did a bad thing. It's, well, no one stopped him.
And that's fair.
It's,
I think that's fair enough.
It's only fair in, like, I
mean, they weren't born yet.
It's only fair in, like,
and a, they weren't born, but they were young.
Subjective, like, if you're in the digital world, you say, why doesn't someone stop him? Because you don't know. But the situation in the real world is, like, you don't know what's happening in the digital world. Nobody has that line of communication. Nobody knows what Kurata's up to, except all his mercenaries, who never talk about it, apparently, because they're not people.
Mm.
Might be robots.
Yeah, but I think that was a fine line.
No, to the proof of it, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Shine Greymon comes in and protects Chica, and then everyone gets to burst mode. Yggdrasil gets hit, but everything, like, but by, like, all the attacks, and for once, it's not just a case of, haha, you didn't even land a scratch. It's, he's actually able to self-restore, like, because he gets all cracked, and then he attacks everyone, and everyone gets hit and devolves, except for Agumon, but then, like, 5 minutes later, Agumon also gets hit. Yggdrasil attacks everything around the world, and this is when we get, like, the shots,
yeah,
of all around the world, like, landmarks all around the world to show that it's not just on the scale of Japan. And I actually like this because in every other season, it's always been, like, Japan is the target. The evil Digimon who's invading Japan says, I want to control the world. But it's just on the Odaiba scale. Like, it's only Odaiba and Adventure.
Well, that's what it is. But also, that's what it is here. I know you see the world and stuff, but then the god shows up and he's just over Mount Fuji. He's like, hey, I'm here. I'm fighting the one town that we've been in this entire time. It's the only town that exists. And he sees, he's about to murder Chica, fires a big diamond attack. And Shine Greymon shows up.
What are you doing? No, I just said that part.
No, but I'm explaining a little bit more detail.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
And he, like, karate chops the diamond attack. And this weirds me out because if he hits it in the middle and you see a bunch of the diamond stuff still flies towards Chica, she still dies. Like, you'd think she'd still die because it's still heading at the same velocity. So she'd still get stabbed by it and just, oh, well, too bad. Okay, so he heals up, Digimon are knocked out, and Yggdrasil, like, does this big monologue. Bonehead / Cranemon is, like, collapsing under the weight, but then Masaru gives him a big speech about feelings and having conviction in what you're doing.
See, this part got a weird change in the dub because in the original he's saying, look, you should really try to do this. Like, we admire your work, you're doing a great job, but continue trying.
I'm a big fan of your work.
In the dub, he's just like, you have to do it, you have to do it. If it's the last thing you do, you have to do it, you have to do it. And he's like, I guess it's being motivational, but, like, he's being kind of, like, a bit harsh. Like, it's something he has to do rather than
a threat.
Yeah, it's rather than something he has to try to do.
And then,
so, just backing up a bit because we did miss something. So, when everyone devolves, Masaru gets mad for Yggdrasil hurting his follower, but in the dub, he's mad for Yggdrasil hurt his friends. And so he's talking about more than just his follower, or his, I guess, employee in the case of the dub.
I swear he said in the Japanese little brother. Maybe I even think of something else.
He says follower, but he probably said he's like a little brother to me.
Oh, no, that's in the next episode, I think.
Yeah. So it's gone from, like, he cares about his follower to he cares about everyone, which I'm not sure what I prefer. I think I prefer when he says, how dare you hurt my follower?
I think so too, because Agumon's the best and the rest are lame.
Yeah, that too. Yggdrasil says that Digimon feel this too because of all the pain that humans caused. And Akuta says that that's not true because there are Digimon who understand humans and will fight with them. And this is when Masaru is motivational to Craniumon.
And he gets his big digi soul.
Yeah, and he says, look, I don't want either world to be destroyed, so I want to try to save both. And he throws up his digi soul and other members do too. Then we get a scene change and Kamimon gets up and walks out. Miki and Megumi wake up and their Digimon leave, and all the baby Digimon are also leaving Masaru's house via flight, apparently. Gotsumon and Piyomon fly up too, and there are some Digimon attached to humans, like the humans who's, the Digimon, oh yeah, right, I just completely had a mind blank. So the Digimon that say that they're attached to humans, and they, the emotion that they have, that they are like feeling at the moment, is the human's attachment to life.
Which is not an emotion. The will to live is not an emotion. It's a motivation, not an emotion.
Yes.
You can be stubborn or you can be angry.
Well,
the
dub set doesn't say it's an emotion. It just says the will to survive.
Yeah, I know. But in the Japanese,
yeah,
it says it's an emotion.
The original is the emotion is the attachment to life that the humans have.
Yeah, also, question, why was Gotsumon even there? Why did he leave the digital world to go with them when he does actually nothing?
He's suddenly, like, attached to them for some reason, like, despite, like, being kind of annoying.
It is never relevant and doesn't go anywhere.
He gets drunk with Yashima in the next episode.
How can a rock get drunk? He doesn't get drunk. He's told to drink a bit. We don't know what it does.
Of milk.
It could be milk. Milkshake.
I'm pretty sure they said in the dub that's milk.
Milkshake.
Yeah, but it's not milk. The digital world stops falling, and the Royal Knights show up, and Yggdrasil commands them to kill them. And in the dub, he says it's his Royal Knight Brigade. I found that was weird.
Knights don't go in brigades.
Omegamon asks what a god is. In the dub, he questions what a king is, so that's fine, because he's a king. Yggdrasil says that they should not question a god, and we find out that Dukemon's alive, and that Sleepmon burned up his Digisoul to save Dukemon, and Digimon apparently do have Digisoul now, so I guess never mind anything I've ever said. Because they say the subtitles definitely say he burned up his Digisoul.
Yeah, I feel like in the English they say, like, his energy.
Yeah, so the English fix this because Digimon don't have Digisoul.
Yeah, that's weird.
And we see this because Craniumon and all the Digimon who are extending their energy to hold up the world, they are not using Digisoul. The humans use Digisoul.
Yeah.
But the Digimon are just using their energy, which is just a random color into the sky.
I would be interested to know what the actual Japanese word that was said at this point was, and maybe if the subtitle was inaccurate.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm hoping. And then he holds out his hand and he's got, they're like, oh god, is Kudamon dead? He's like, no, it's right here, it's fine.
Which is good, because I like
saved
Kudamon.
Your scarf. And then they go, Yggdrasil, we're gonna ask you a favor, which I think they're implying, like, you know, restore Kudamon, it'll be good. And Yggdrasil's like, no, you've all betrayed me, now you're all evil and you all have to die. And he grows, like, these big energy wings.
Yeah, he says, and this is what Dukemon says, he says that if you are truly a god, you should be able to grant them a wish.
Yeah.
Which I guess maybe is probably the safety of the both worlds.
I assumed it was bringing Kudamon back.
Oh, no, because Kudamon's fine.
No, he's not. He's, like, he's all energied out.
He's just sleepy.
Because he's just holding the thing out. Like, that's what he implied to me.
I just thought it was, like, saved the world. But I guess Yggdrasil doesn't care at this point.
It's also foreshadowing bringing back Suguru.
Yeah. Yggdrasil has a different voice. And says that they're the Wiz 9000 computer model.
That sounded really familiar. Is that from something? Because I actually looked it up after this, and it just saw pictures of Yggdrasil again. But why does this sound so familiar?
It doesn't to me, so I'm not sure.
All right.
And it was built to observe the evolution of Digimon. That their results found that the failure was due to humans, and error code 401 will not run, and it will cause the world to switch over, which is rebooted in the dub.
The problem with this is that implies that Yggdrasil was made by humans, because he says he was built and he's a computer program. And I think in the English, he's a PC.
Yeah.
She, I guess.
No, it's a computer model in the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the humans could literally have just found this original computer and turned it off.
Yes.
No one ever talks about it. No one mentions it at all.
So a bunch of the baby Digimon are killed, but no one else really. And the Royal Knights start helping Craniumon lift up the world. Yggdrasil says there's a low chance of their survival. Royal Knights still try. Masaru asks if this is all that Yggdrasil thought about his comrades, and he can't be qualified to call himself a god. In the dub, Marcus says, just because things don't go your way doesn't mean you can just restart your not a king. Then Masaru and Agumon say they're going to show Yggdrasil the power of humans and Digimon.
Yeah, we'll show you what we're made of, I think is the Japanese one.
Yeah.
And it occurs to me at this point that I think the Yggdrasil as the final bad guy is really interesting for the theme of the show, but I also think I can't tell if there's dramatic irony or if it's a bit misguided about what it's doing. Because the idea, obviously, is that Yggdrasil is a computer and it makes all its decisions based on logic. So the idea that, okay, well, only one world can survive, I'll destroy the human world. That's a logical decision, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have an idea in its mind that it's being evil, because it doesn't know what evil is. It's a computer. And that's why it never, ever responds to emotional requests or whatever, to the emotions of the people that are attacking it or fighting or anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't understand. It can't empathize. It's a computer. It doesn't understand. And that's all fine. That's why the entire fight, it's saying it can't figure out why they're doing this. The chances of it of them succeeding are so low, and both worlds are going to get destroyed or whatever it is, that it's clearly in the right. It makes perfect sense why it still thinks that. But the problem is that its motivation to get to this position is a very emotional response to what Kurata did. It's 100% emotional response, and it's all that vengeance and backlash.
And it's just because of Kurata anyway. It's not like did any other human explicitly cause this whole anger between Yggdrasil and, I guess, the Digimon against the humans?
Not at all. So it's weird, because it's the outcome, which is this complete logical cold machine that's calculated the infinitesimal probability of their success and everything, and doesn't understand emotion. That's great. But its beginning reason for doing all the things it's doing are purely emotional. And I can't tell if that's dramatic irony, like you're meant to identify that it's clearly in the wrong because it can feel emotions, or if the writers just didn't figure out what they wanted to do with it until, like, this stage, or the plot wouldn't have worked if they did it another way. I think what you could have done is that Kurata wasn't the only bad guy. Like, the Japanese government was getting in there and, like, putting up oil rigs or stuff, like, exploiting the resources of the digital world. There's stuff you could have done with that, and then made it seem like all of Japan is evil because the government that represents them was doing stuff.
Yeah.
But they never bothered.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't. So I think that what they've done at the end is good, but to get here, it's a bit of a bumpy road.
It also is a bit of an exaggeration from, like, I know I always said, oh yeah, maybe the Digimon's just misunderstanding, but surely, like, this god that knows everything would be able to not have a misunderstanding, and if they're watching over, would be able to understand, hey, it's just that one human that's the problem, and that human is dead now. By the way, Kurata's just dead.
He is.
He didn't have, like, a miraculous recovery like someone else. Which, I hate miraculous recoveries.
Yeah, I complained about that in my notes.
Like, Kurata, I'm glad stayed dead. Like, he didn't come back and said, no, I was alive. No, he'd actually just died.
Also, I'm a good guy now.
Yeah, that would have pissed me off. Like, no, Kurata stays dead. And he did, which is good. And I don't like, you know, when a character is dead, especially if it's an emotional moment that actually makes me feel things, I feel like that character should, unless there's, like, that they're a Digimon and they come back as an egg, I feel like if they're a human, they should stay dead.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's like, I got upset for no reason, the character is alive now, and I was upset because the character died. And I guess we'll go into it a bit later, because I'm annoyed.
Yeah, so I think the one thing here is that in this final fight, I really appreciate the logical, like, I have to do this because of these reasons, but I don't like the "but you're all evil" sort of side of it, because I don't think the computer should care. The Digimon aren't evil or good.
Yeah.
And also, what's very strange about this fight is that Yggdrasil, there's no reason for him or her to stay and fight. Why wouldn't Yggdrasil just go elsewhere and keep blowing up parts of the world until the world collapsed?
I mean, Yggdrasil's not being damaged by the humans at all. Like,
no.
And is able to self-restore. Like, wouldn't Yggdrasil just hop around the planet blowing things up?
If Yggdrasil was 20 kilometers away, Masaru would lose, because he couldn't get into fist-punching range, and that would be the end of the show.
Yes.
And as a fantastically intelligent computer god, it couldn't work that out.
Episode 48 starts off with Masaru and Agumon climbing up Yggdrasil, and everyone else is calling out his name. In the dub, there are some bits cut from here for some reason. I'm not even sure why. This episode has a lot of random cutting that they just do for no reason.
Yeah. What really weirds me out is that Masaru can run towards Yggdrasil, and all, like, the beams and ice crystals are coming to attack him, and as a normal human running at a reasonable speed, he can just dodge all of God's attacks.
Yeah, and the Digimon that can move at really intense speeds were not able to dodge them.
No. And just like, okay, I'll just get out of the way, it's fine.
The other Digimon are able to evolve to adult for the first time in a while, which is, I actually kind of like this part, because it's almost like a send-off to all the evolutions, except for we don't get Geogreymon and Risegreymon. We only get Lalamon and Gaomon and Falcomon's evolutions. But I really like this part because it is a send-off, because we really haven't seen their champion levels since we got to their perfect levels, and same for perfect to ultimate.
No, and the reason for it's really good, which is Well, of course, when the humans are doing it, you'll always go to the most powerful form. Yes. That makes perfect sense, because they're making a decision based on the battle. Whereas here, it wasn't a decision. It was they're just so emotional, they evolve naturally.
Which is how Digimon have evolved in previous seasons, like Digimon Adventure. They just evolved because they wanted to protect their partner.
I would suggest, though, that what would have made this really good is that when you get after the fight and everything, and they're in the recap and they're in the catch-up at the end, they don't de-evolve because this is a natural evolution.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense, and I would have preferred it, and Agumon would have been this tiny little dinosaur among all the, like, champion levels.
Yeah.
It would have been cute.
So they wonder why they were able to evolve without getting the Digisoul charge, and it turns out they just wanted to protect their human partners. In the dub, Yggdrasil questions that, hey, you couldn't win in burst mode, why do you think you can win in champion mode?
That's a great line. I like that, because it's very legitimate. Again, it's that cold computer, like, I don't understand. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
It is so illogical for you to be doing this. You're wasting your time.
And also, I like the fact that it's burst mode, so surely it's champion mode as well. I like how the word they use is champion mode. Like, it's a mode instead of a stage.
I didn't even think... I wrote it down, and I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, so burst, I guess, is a evolution level in this one.
Sort of, yes.
Not a mode change.
Yeah, I think.
Because you wouldn't say it's a switch back and forth thing.
No, you would always go to burst mode. But you can't... I don't think you can get straight to burst mode. I think you actually have to change from ultimate, because you have to get, like, super Digisoul or whatever.
No, you can get all your evolutions at once. Just do them in a row.
Mm.
You just can't warp there.
Yggdrasil says that their chances of winning is approaching 0%. What?
Sorry, I'm just thinking of that Scott Steiner promo where he's talking about Samoa Joe. He's like, in a normal match, you got a 50% chance of winning, but I'm a genetic freak and I'm not normal, so I got a 75% chance of winning, and you got a 25% chance, but then at Sacrifice, it's a triple threat match, and I got a 66% and two-thirds chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me. So you got a 33.3% chance of winning, which you minus your normal 25% chance of winning, and you got like an 8 1/3 chance of winning, and I got 143 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice.
And that's maths.
And Samoa Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice. It's like one of the best. I think I got that pretty close.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've quoted it to me before, and I think that was pretty right.
It's so good. That promo is so bad.
All the Digimon then become perfect levels, and then they become ultimate as well. So it's just, and as I said, this is a really nice send off to the evolutions that we haven't seen for, like, the episode where they get to ultimate is episode 29.
Yeah, so they're just gone.
So it's been like over 20 episodes since we saw these characters effectively.
You know, it's better. Agumon's evolution to doubling in size and getting energy wins. Also, what is Masaru holding on to? Like, he's got, like, reins, right? But they're, like, these red things, like, as though they're the things from Agumon's arms.
I think it's just energy.
No, I think he's holding, like, the straps from Agumon's arms. But if he's doing that, then Agumon couldn't fly.
Okay. I know. It's energy and stuff, okay? You've got to trust me here.
Fine.
Energy and stuff.
Energy and all stuff.
Masaru and Agumon are about to punch out God, but then they get caught in
the
vines.
That's such a cool phrase.
Yeah, well, he wants to punch... Like, I remember when Masaru was like, I'm gonna go punch out my dad. Like, he's just like, yeah, why not?
He's never stopped the plan of punch out God.
Like, and you were worried at the start. Like, yeah, I don't think this punching thing's gonna continue.
I was hoping it would, but I'm like, oh, this... Yeah, it doesn't seem... Once you get the really powerful Digimon, how could you keep punching? And you know what? Every time it happens, it is more and more illogical.
I kind of love how the fact that he actually punches God, though.
That's cool. It's very cool.
Chika starts using her Digisoul, and so is Rolana and Akuto's sister, and Miki and Megumi, and Sayuri, and all the characters from previous episodes, which I really like this part, because we see the characters from, like, the first arc, where it's just, like, Digimon are showing up, and it's the seven deadly sins. So we see, like, Neo? Yes, no, Neon.
Neon.
Because I get confused with Neo from V-Tamer. And then we see the best part, which is Ivan, and he's got all his siblings.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. And they've all got Digisoul. It's great.
It'd be way better if there was a prequel episode with Neon called Neon's Genesis.
Huh.
Bet no one's ever made that joke before.
In the dub, there's a few bits cut from this, and it's kind of weird about why they were cut, because usually it's just Rosemon that gets cut. Also, the thing I don't like about the dub is they're saying, look, it's all their DNA charges. It sounds really weird, because I thought the DNA charge was, like, the action of, like, charging your DNA on the IC, or the data link, I guess, in the dub.
No, I assumed that it was, like, in the same way a Digisoul is the name of the energy, the DNA charge is the name of the energy.
But it's DNA natural ability.
A Digimon natural ability charge.
No, ability. Remember?
Yeah, Digimon natural ability
no,
charge.
No, it's ability.
What?
Remember in the dojo, how was that typo? It was Digimon
I don't
natural,
remember that.
Digimon natural ability, but it was AA, and then it was ability, but the L was capitalized for some reason.
I distinctly do not remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, well, we both missed it, and I believe that Ellie Vorg sent they told us about it in a postmortem pat, and I actually got the screenshot today, so that's why it's fresh in my mind.
Ah, solid.
Because I was like, hey, we never did actually post that, and that's probably like the funniest thing the dub's done besides like the Puamon analyzer, which is like the weird white paint.
You know what totally ruins this ending for me though, where all the people looking to the sky with hope and the beams of light and all that stuff?
What?
It's just 02's ending again.
Well, actually, I made a reference here. It's called A Million Points of Digisol.
It's the same thing.
Because the 02 ending was called A Million Points of Light.
Yeah.
So it's A Million Points of Digisol because...
So it's ruined. It's literally ruined forever.
Going up through the sky. And it's the same thing that we mentioned, like, especially in Atmon, where it's just like, oh, it's like sort of like grabbing ideas from previous seasons. Like, this was very much the ending of 02, but instead of using the Million Points of Light to, like, attack or, like, to hold back the bad guy...
Yeah, they more, like, use the 24 points of Digisol.
Yeah, but it's like, holding up the world instead of attacking, so it's in a different way. It's not just, like, we are attacking the bad guy. It's not attacking Yggdrasil. The Digisol is actually holding up the world.
That's true.
From colliding. So Yggdrasil says they have a 0% chance, and everyone disagrees.
It's very close to a 0% chance. They never go so far as to say it is impossible, just that it's practically impossible.
Yeah. Masara says that at times humans do and say stupid things. And from Yggdrasil's point of view, it may seem that they have evolved in the wrong direction. Agumon says that human emotions make Digimon stronger, and together there's no limit to how far they can evolve. Agumon starts glowing red and flies, and says this is the true power between Digimon and humans.
You know, at the time, I was like, this is kind of cool, but the more I think about it, I think it's actually pretty lame that he just glows and starts flying, and it's all weird and out of nowhere. One of my favorite anime of all time, which is Gurren Lagann. It's a robot anime, and when big moments happen, basically, thematically, the robot always gets bigger, and it's always really cool. It's a great moment, and that's progression, and it's always kind of like that. But the whole point is, every time it sort of happens, and it's always different, and it's really interesting, the reason it gets you is because it's building on the things you understand, and you get the rules of the world. Whereas here, why is Agumon growing slightly bigger and flying? How is he doing that?
This is his burst mode.
Is it?
Yeah, it's called Agumon burst mode. I realize I don't actually say in this episode, but it's actually called Agumon burst mode.
And now that also sort of has a weird implication of, like, does that mean Agumon is also a mega level or ultimate or whatever?
No, they can just have burst mode. They don't need to be ultimate to have a burst mode.
Okay, so you can have multiple different burst modes. Like, it's just confusing, right? Because it's the last episode, but they're never going to explain it.
It's not technically a new evolution, so all the characters all get the same amount of evolutions, which I like.
Arguably.
Because I don't count this as a new evolution.
Arguably.
It's more of a new attack.
It is more of an attack, yes.
Because he basically just glows. Like, he's still Agumon.
You know what would have been really cool? Is if this Agumon had boxing gloves the entire season and he took the gloves off during this fight.
That'd be cool, yeah. Or he just becomes, like, Adventure Agumon. Like, that's his burst mode.
His nose becomes normal again?
Yeah. They burst through Yggdrasil and a figure pops out. And Masaru punches it and shatters it.
He punches God so hard it dies.
Yes.
Which, again, proves that Masaru is, in fact, the strongest Digimon available. Like, why wouldn't Agumon be the one to do that? I don't know. The human will do it with his own arms.
And I kind of love that.
I think that you would have a competitive matchup between Masaru and Imperial Dramon.
Yes. I think we mentioned that, like, every second episode.
That's
yes.
Dumb. That's, like, really stupid.
Because he's the strongest one.
He's potentially the strongest Digimon of all time.
In the dub, what Marcus says is that how friends fight sometimes, but they just because they fight doesn't mean they can't get along or they're not compatible, it's just that friends fight. And then in the original, we only just get the opening now.
Which, I was like, I don't want to see the opening now. Why? It's the last episode we're 8 minutes in.
But I feel like Digimon will always show the opening again. Like, even if it's the last episode. In other anime, usually in the last episode, they usually skip the opening. Or they have, like, a credits, like, just over the screen.
If you're going to do an opening in your last episode, do a cool, different one.
Mm.
That's, like, either a bit of different music or
Code Geass Code Geass did do that, I believe. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Code Geass did it for the last episode, and it was really, really cool. Or maybe the second last episode, or maybe the last two episodes. I just remember it being very cool.
Like, School Live did it, but in a sort of way where it changed every episode, and the opening kept getting, like, worse and worse to look at. So they played in every episode, including the last one, because you want to see what weird progression would start introducing itself into that opening.
Is this School Live?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. It was too depressing. I can't watch anymore.
That's why I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can see why it would be enjoyable, and I did enjoy it, but I just found that it was, like, a little bit... bit, like, the whole, like, psychosis part of it was a little bit too much.
That's exactly why I liked it.
Yeah, it's just, it's scary. It's,
Everything you're saying is a positive review.
That's yeah, just... I know, but it just hits hard. It just...
Fair enough. I like that show a lot.
Like, the whole show needs, like, a big trigger warning on, or tigger warning.
Oh, there's no tigger in it, though.
No. But there's a dog.
There's a dog.
But I always worry whenever there's zombies and dogs.
I warned you about that in advance.
Yeah. I think that was your weekly wonder at one point.
It was.
So Masaru and Agumon are floating, and Masaru wonders if he's in heaven. In the dub, Marcus wonders if he's still in the digital world. Now, I don't know why he says, am I still in the digital world, because he was not in the digital world before this happened.
I couldn't tell you.
He was in the real world, so I don't know why he said, are we in the digital world?
Well,
I guess
still.
It's because they can't reference heaven.
Yeah, well, yeah. They could. They just do it.
I know, but they want to stay away from the whole death thing, and also they want to stay away from religion.
Yeah, I guess the death one is the bad one, because if you didn't want to talk about religion, you'd say, am I dead?
Yeah, but they also don't want to talk about death, because I feel like they've always said, oh, they're gone, instead of they're dead. Like, they've been trying to avoid the whole death thing.
Yeah, so Yggdrasil's core, which, surprise, is a little crystal. Who knew? One, if you carved it into a ball, you could put it in a different movie.
Also, her voice is very feminine.
Very.
It's actually Mona Marshall, who is the voice actress for Izzy.
Fair
and
enough.
Lou Simon.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
And they'd sort of work out their differences, and Yggdrasil's like, oh, you know what? You were probably right the whole time. Sorry about that. I guess I was wrong. And I think the Japanese, they just go, well, you know what? I'm going to chill out now. And you guys take care of the digital world yourselves.
Yggdrasil is going to remain. And basically says, I'm just going to watch, basically. Yeah. I'm not going to interfere. I'm just going to set everything back. You have shown me the power between humans and Digimon. And I'm just going to sit back idly.
And the English, they say, instead, I'll lay myself to rest and protect you from afar, which implies, oh, well, I'll still do stuff, though.
Yeah, but in the original, the exact line is, I will let the future decide itself.
Yeah, so also, they're very different, actually.
Also, Masaru says, it doesn't matter the conflicts as long as we can understand each other through our fists. In the dub, he says, if they can talk and discuss peacefully, people don't have to kill each other, which is the opposite, I feel like. In the original saying, yeah, fighting's good, let's talk through our fists.
Well, but you know that he doesn't mean kill each other with the fists.
Yeah.
You know that. His version of conflict with fists is just being open with and expressive rather than holding things in.
Also, Masaru also says things about how, like, fighting can help you understand the other person.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a really good lesson for kids.
That's not like, hey kids, you know what's great? Beating up your friends.
Yeah, no, are you getting bullied at school? Well, you should just punch them to figure out what's going on.
You'll understand when you clash fists. The dimensional barrier is restored, and the Royal Knights say the biggest, like, F you to
the other
cast members by saying, you are magnificent, Diamond Masaru. You are without a doubt our true savior. And I'm just like, oh my god.
In the English, you have become a legend of the digital world.
Yeah, a true legend.
Yeah, all the rest of you, you're crap legends. This guy, he's the real legend.
But I feel like Yoshino and Tomoe Nakuto still did stuff.
Oh, they did stuff. They were around. They definitely didn't punch God to death, though.
Mm. So the Royal Knights fly back to the digital world.
Never to be seen again.
Good.
Never to ruin Digimon ever again.
Except for Cyber Sleuth, but it actually was good in Cyber Sleuth.
Never to ruin Digimon again.
Akuto hugs his parents. Relena and Tomoe's father are there too, which is really nice. And all the Digimon reunite with their partners. Yoshino asks why Gotsumon is there, which is a good question.
And then he's like, I helped.
He's like, I helped.
No, he did not.
He showed us where Yggdrasil was.
I kind of feel... What do you mean? No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Wait, oh, no, that was before. Like, since he came with them from the digital world?
No, he has no reason to be here.
I feel like they had an idea. Like, he was going to be instrumental in some way, and then they just did nothing with him.
I think it's because, like, he was kind of like a bad guy at some point.
No, but they could have had, like, a funny bit here where he, like, actually redeems himself rather than just forgetting.
Or maybe even sacrifices himself for the greater good and has a really cool send-off or something. I don't know.
Also, what weirds me out a lot is when they're all the Digimon are being in the gold beams and helping out push things up, he says, oh, I'm going to go back to the digital world now. And then he doesn't go back. And then he lands on the ground and says, I want to stay here forever.
Yeah.
And then they close the thing and he has to go back.
Yeah.
He keeps switching what he wants.
Chika hugs Sayuri, and Sayuri says that she believed Ogachan would protect them. Masaru says sorry for not bringing their dad back, but he turns out to be alive, and it removes any actual sadness.
Oh my god, it just totally walks it back. The worst part about this is, in the English, the line that Sayuri says is, you know what though? Because because Masaru apologizes, like, I couldn't bring dad back. She goes, yeah, but I always believe he'll find his way back to us. She doesn't know that Masaru thinks he killed the guy, like, annihilated his body, will never come. Like, imagine that, like, fist to the heart moment, like, oh Jesus, oh my god, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
How can I tell my mom that she's wrong? Don't hold out hope, there's no way.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's over there, don't worry about
it. Yeah, because Masaru thinks that he killed his father.
He never acts like it.
He does in this part.
No, he says, I couldn't bring him back. He acts as though, oh, he's still in the digital world.
He's got a facial expression, he's just like, the facial expression is basically just like, oh god, I killed my father.
A little. Not as much as you'd think for a guy who killed his dad an hour ago.
For no reason.
Yeah, it was not worth it.
Yeah.
And it was an hour ago.
Yeah. So he's alive, yep. Yggdrasil restored him to life, and Ciri tells him not to leave again.
He's wearing different clothes. Where did he get them?
I don't know. Yggdrasil gave him clothes, I guess.
I guess.
Also, Badger Liamon's dead.
It's fine. Liamons don't live forever.
Yeah. The digital gate is being closed for some time, maybe 5 to 10 years. And in the dub, it's said because it's unstable to have it be open.
Yeah. I think the better ones in Japanese are like, look, it's 1 year or 10 years or forever. We don't know. It's a thing that we have to decide. Side note, didn't the DATS building get blown up? Just this moment of realization. Why would they build this building again with the gate just to say we're not opening it?
All the gates were destroyed, and that's why they had to fly up into the sky.
Wait, was the gate at Ikuto's family's house destroyed? That's fine.
I think they were all destroyed.
No, it was fine. It never got broken.
I think it was dismantled by the government dudes.
It could have been.
The point is, they rebuilt it just to set the Digimon back.
Oh, I guess that's what they did it for, yeah.
But it's still a bit weird because it was blown up. It was blown up by the biohybrids. Remember them?
Yes.
Yeah, they blew it up.
Yes, I do remember that.
But it's amazing that they rebuilt it within maybe a day.
Yep.
Gosh, the Japanese are so diligent.
No, it's pretty amazing.
They rebuilt it in a day just to send the Digimon back exactly how it was. Even with, like, the control panels there that aren't needed anymore, surely you would just be able to rebuild the Digiport, right?
Apparently. And we know that it doesn't take tons and tons of computers because, like, we see the control panel at Ikuto's family's place and it's, like, one little computer.
Mm.
You just don't need it.
Yeah, I would have just, like, asked Ikuto's parents to... But no, they built the entire DATS headquarters back and I didn't even think about the fact that it got blown up, like...
No, we got, like, leveled.
Yeah, that was, like, what, 20 episodes ago?
Yeah, which was actually... which is only a couple of weeks. Maybe a week in the timeline.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have built it back in that time, even in a week.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Masaru says they promised to keep a world between them and, like, to build the relationship between humans and Digimon. And the human partners want to go home because the Digimon lost their god and they'll be confused and they'll need some leadership. And they can provide that.
Masaru gets really angry at the idea.
And then Masaru and Agumon go to where they first met and Masaru just starts beating up Agumon.
It's, like, really dark out of context.
In the dub, they put in the goofy music.
Because it's really sad otherwise.
Yeah. And then later on, they do put the serious music on. But the goofy music does not belong. Masaru says he thought of Agumon as a little brother. And Agumon says that he wants to stay with him forever, but he doesn't want to be a burden in the human world and is needed in the digital world. And that's why he has to go with all the other ones.
Yeah, because no Digimon are coming through. So what am I going to do here? I can't fight anything. I can't do anything. So what he doesn't say and what he's implying is, I don't want to be a pet. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, he wants to be a Digimon. And he doesn't want to be just a burden. And that's fair enough.
It is.
And then Masaru gets a little bit salty and says, guess this world is just too small for you. And he's all, like, upset.
Fine. He sort of, like, caves in and he walks away.
Yeah, in the dub he says, well, this world will just be a cold place without you. So it's less, like, it's less aggressive.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's sad instead of aggressive.
It almost makes this bit so good, it almost makes up for running it back on Suguru.
Yeah.
Who did not need to come back. He doesn't do or say anything important.
Like, they could have just removed that part and the ending would have been the same.
There would have been a lot more sadness to it, but it wouldn't have been the kind of sadness like at the end of Tamers, be like, oh no.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it's like, oh no, yeah, okay.
So we get some goodbyes between the Digimon and their partners.
Gaumon's is cute.
Gaumon brings Thomas some tea. It's an original blend called The Vow to Meet Again. It's the same in both versions, which I'm happy about. Then we see Lalamon at an arcade and she's useful the first time ever. She has a good score.
She's not useful. That's not a use. She did something.
She did something cool.
And then Yoshi brings up Digisoul into her fist, which I think is interesting because I never think about the Digidestined still having their powers after they lose their Digimon. When the implication here is, she'll still have Digisoul.
Yeah, she still has a Digisoul, yeah.
And she breaks the machine.
And they get kicked out. And in the dub, there's added line where Yoshi says that she'll go back tomorrow to pay for it.
That's cute.
Because you don't want to just have, like, them just breaking something without saying they'll pay for it.
That's fine. And then they have a brief conversation. Lalamon's like, you can play the piano alone now. So in front of people now. And Yoshi's like, quiet, you know I can't.
Oh yeah, that was character development, wasn't it?
Sort of? Was it? Is it the only bit of character we know, so that's why we're talking about it? Fine.
Lalamon is really happy because Yoshi Yoshino stronger, and she'll always sing Yoshino's song in the digital world.
Does she not understand that being physically stronger does not mean you're emotionally stronger?
Yes. Miki and Megumi say goodbye to their partners, but then they say, hey, we should go to a karaoke in Hot Springs. And they go, and I love this part.
How come this is more emotional than Lalamon's goodbye?
Good point. Because this is so them. They're just kind of like, we're going now. Bye, Satsuma.
They're polishing their helmets because they want them to look nice when they go back to the digital world. It's so cute.
Like, how did Miki and Megumi become, like, just so fun?
I don't know, because we never see them.
We saw them in the Manju episode.
And there's a really cute thing between the captain and Kudamon, and they have a brief conversation, and Kudamon says that being on the captain's shoulder is the most relaxing place he knows of.
Yes, because in the original he says but the being at the dad's headquarters relaxes him the most. In the dub he says, I like to be on your shoulder to be alone.
Oh, is that the dad's headquarters? I thought when he said the most relaxing place was on his shoulder.
Oh, I thought it was like the dad's headquarters. I guess on the shoulder too.
Way cuter my way.
Yeah, no, you're right. So then we have the best one, which is Yoshima getting drunk with Kamemon and Gotsumon. And I'm pretty sure it's said it's milk in the dub. And there's a bit where...
A rock can't get drunk.
Where Yoshima passes the cup to Kamemon. Kamemon drinks some and he gets like
the blushes.
The pink blushes of drunkenness, which is so common in anime. This is removed in the dub because it's not meant to be alcohol.
Can't he be embarrassed?
And then we get a cute one between Akuto and Falcomon, which is they're watching over the city. And Akuto says he wants to go back too because it's also his... It is more or less more of his home. The real world is.
And Falcomon goes like, what about your family here? And he goes, well, your family. Yeah. I don't know what you mean. I barely know those people. Like, Falcomon, you're my family.
Actually, fair enough, because he should also want to go to the digital world because he is more, like, I would say emotionally he's more Digimon than human.
Yeah, and putting this one last is weird because Falcomon's like, no, you can't. You need to live here.
And then we immediately see Masaru go anyway.
I'm going!
I wish, like, he grabbed Akuto by the shoulder and said, you're coming with me.
No, but I think the result for Akuto was way better having stayed in the human world. Really? You think that Akuto dressed normal and in school clothes isn't the most adorable thing?
It is, but I just want him to say, you're my little brother now too.
No, Chica's his best friend. It's so cute.
Yeah, okay.
Let it go.
So they both start crying, and it, for some reason, it reminds me of the goodbye between Takeru and TK, because, Takeru and TK, yeah. Yes. Takeru and Takaro.
Takaro.
Takaru.
We did this for 40 episodes, and you never corrected me.
I love Garrett. I love Sporky. I love Davide.
Garrow.
It just reminds me of Patamon and TK's goodbye in Adventure, how they just end up just crying in each other's arms.
Oh, yeah. Don't say that.
So then when they're all saying their final goodbyes and their Digimon are ready to leave, Masaru isn't there, and they say, well, I guess he just didn't want to say goodbye. I guess
yeah, Agumon's really upset.
Yeah. And then he shows up and he's like, stuff your goodbyes in a sock in the dub.
No, wait. Put your goodbyes in your pocket.
Keep your stupid comments in your pocket.
Yeah, keep your stupid goodbyes in your pocket.
No, that wasn't Tomo Sada said. That was the other guy.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. It just sounds like a thing he would say.
He probably wrote the line. Like, let's be real.
No, he did. He wrote all the lines.
So he says he's going to the digital world. And I just want to point out, okay, I'm going to give a bit of refresher. Episode 14.
Yes.
Masaru is sitting down at the table with his mother.
Yes.
And his sister.
Yes.
And his mum's saying, well, and this is where we just find out that the dad disappeared to the digital world.
Okay.
And she's saying, I didn't want to tell you because I was worried you'd go to the digital world. And I don't want to lose another someone else to the digital world.
And this is what they've done exactly.
And then Masaru says, I'm never leaving you. I'm not going to go to the digital world, and I'm not going to stay in the digital world. I'm going to come back after I defeat Marukimon, and I'll never leave you for the digital world.
But it's fine now. He's been replaced again by the real dad.
Yeah, by the real dad, so he doesn't have to be. I guess you could argue that.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't need to be there anymore for them.
So his dad says for him to go and to polish up his manliness.
To be fair, I guess the dad did have a positive experience. He was basically hailed as the Messiah for a while, and then he was in jail for 9 years.
Yes,
basically. So 5 years.
So then we get the epilogue, which has, in the original, Going, Going, My Soul, which is the first opening for Savers. And then in the dub, it's just the next time on background music, which is fine. It goes well. So we see Akuto and Chika going to school. They're both
Akuto's
in school
adorable.
Uniforms.
Akuto's adorable. It's really... Akuto. Ha! Huh, that took me a while to get to that one.
So now they're as old as Masaru was at the start of the season. They'd be old.
I didn't realize a lot of time had moved.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 15 years. It's 15 years. 5 years.
No so way.
Yeah, it's 5 years and then at 15.
I'm pretty sure I remember reading
it's 5 years somewhere.
Because they don't... No one looks older.
Yoshino does. Toma does. Toma, like, wears his glasses now.
Oh, a little bit.
Because they're in their 20s. Okay. Masaru looks so much buff.
He looks the same.
No, he's buff.
Because he's dressed the same.
No, he's dressed as the same, but he's buff. Well, he's and I'm glad been. He's dressed the same, because why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. He's no new. Where's he going to get new clothes?
Yeah, and no, everyone's 5 years older.
Yeah, and so Thomas cured his sister finally.
Yeah.
He wins a Nobel Prize for us.
Yeah. And the dub misspelled his name as Nordstein.
You mean Nerdstein?
Nerdstein.
Hey!
Yoshino's working as a police officer, and this is what annoys me about a lot of things in anime, is if a character has short hair, whenever there's an age-up epilogue,
yeah.
They always make their hair long.
Well, that means time has passed.
Yeah, she's got, like, shoulder-length hair.
That's okay, time has passed, that's fine.
It's been 5 years. If she didn't get a haircut in 5 years, her hair would be, like, a foot level.
No, but, like, she changed her hairstyle, time progressed. Yeah. It just shows that she's different.
Look, no, I want punk Yoshino. She has, like, a mohawk now.
No, she's a police officer.
Yeah, she's a punk police
There's
officer.
There's no such thing. What is she, a Bansho?
Yes.
Although, what I notice here is all the people who don't have character arcs are police officers now, because what else are they going to be?
Look, Miki Megumi are really important, okay? They were cleaning their Digimon's heads, okay?
That's cute.
So they're also police officers, and Satsuma's their captain, which I guess that would be the translation between, like, what their jobs were and what their jobs are now. Like, they actually became real police officers.
I'm not necessarily sure I agree.
Well, he's still a captain.
Well, think about it, though. Like, he's a captain of, like, a regular police department. Mm. I don't think if he was, because he's part of the government, right? He never actually got fired.
Yeah.
Which means that if you're looking at this guy who's the captain of your super secret otherworldly police agency, you don't go, oh, you're just a regular police guy now.
Yeah.
You never do that. He might, because if he was a captain, he'd probably get promoted to lieutenant. No, lieutenant's the other way. He'd probably get promoted upwards to be some either a government position or one of the heads of the police, like commissioner or something.
Yeah.
And you'd think that Yoshi would have enough experience to not just be a regular beat cop who's on traffic duty.
Yeah, she's just an officer, I think.
Like, she got downgraded and it's been 5 years.
Look,
she's going nowhere with her career.
Cool? She has a band with Neon.
No, it wouldn't. She's not a oh no, she plays.
She's a musician. He's a singer. She plays keyboard. Yeah. And she forms this worldwide successful band. It's international.
Yeah, all right.
They're performing all over the world. They're touring the world.
I could see it.
Because what else do we know about Yoshino?
She
was a field agent, but with Digimon. But her main thing was that she played piano.
What if she was a circus freak who had the strongest punch in the world?
That too. Yeah, she just punches things. She becomes a new Masaru.
Hey, Street Fighter.
So we see Chika and Ikuto, like, walking along a bridge, and Yoshino, like, drives past in a little police vehicle because she's on patrol. And then Koki goes past and is not wearing a helmet on his motorbike, so she chases him down. I wish we got more about him. What was his reason for being so angry?
I don't know.
He's just a terrible person, because Ivan and, I'm gonna say Mari, but that's not her name.
I don't remember either.
In V-Tamer, the very similar character is called Mari.
The exact same character.
What's her name?
I don't know.
See, last time we could remember everyone's name but Ivan's, and now we can remember Ivan. Ivan's the best.
He's the best. That's why we remember him. I forgot who Koki was.
Yeah, he's the one who was angry.
There's no story whatsoever.
He was the counterpart to Masaru.
Yeah, I know that, but he had no story, like, at all. Mm. Imagine if they had
Wow, it's interesting that, like, all three of them have, like, the opposite amount of story that the actual character...
Oh my god, it's true!
Because Yoshino has the least, and her counterpart was Ivan, who I would actually say would have the most.
Yeah.
And then the next one's the girl who was just like, everyone's an insect, I'm above them.
I'm a big smart.
And then we have Koki and versus Masaru, and Masaru's like, has all this stuff, and Koki's just like, I'm really angry! So then we see Yoshima's fishing, and which is still alive, it's just good, it's good. And we see some Gobimon are fighting over turf in the digital world, and Masaru's showing up, and he's all grown up, and he's wearing the same clothes, which are now torn, which is a nice touch.
Well, it's been 5 years, apparently.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 5 years. I'm not sure where I pulled that from, but I'm pretty sure it's been 5 years. It would match up the why Ikuto and Chika are both wearing the same uniform that Masaru was wearing, though, because they'd be in junior high school.
Okay.
Which is like our year 7, 8, and 9. So they would be in year 8 or 9, which is like the second or third year of junior high school or middle school.
I don't know things.
We know.
Thanks.
So he breaks up the fight and he says that he's the ultimate street fighter. In the dub, he says he's the ultimate justice of the peace.
It's pretty good.
And then we get like this scene that says Finn and it says in Japanese, but that part's cut because it's in Japanese and they don't want to edit it out because that's very hard.
You have to redraw all of Masaru behind it.
But we get the...
And it's a freeze frame. Why would you bother?
We get the freeze frame before it, which is just him jumping in the air. It looks pretty cool. And that was it for Savers. What do you think of both these episodes, someone who is new to Digimon?
So I thought the first one was fine. It was just them fighting Yggdrasil and it wasn't great. Like, I thought, again, my problem with Yggdrasil is not what it was doing, because I thought what it was doing was fine. My problem was that I don't think it had a very clear purpose. in that if it's meant to be an emotionless machine, why is it keep talking in all these emotional ways about it being betrayed and everyone being evil and the darkened hearts of the humans? Because it's so much more interesting and tragic, I think, if Yggdrasil goes, I know humans are good. It's fine. I believe you. But that doesn't matter because the digital world is my priority and it needs to survive. And now you have a completely different conversation where the issue is not humans are evil and thus you need to be destroyed. It's there is no chance of success because I have calculated it. I'm a computer and thus I need to be doing what is most efficient and utilitarian. And the only thing that defeats that idea is the emotional resonance of, well, we think we can save everyone. And that's the conflict. But the problem is that the conflict is muddied with, no, humans are evil though, so they deserve to die, even though it was really only one guy.
Yes.
And the computer knows that. It has all the information available to it. It's frustrating. And in the second episode, I mean, I'm glad they finished that fight quickly because all of the epilogue stuff was great.
Yeah, and I feel like it should have been about as long as it was, and that's really good. I don't think I would have particularly appreciated if it was like a long, big, fighty episode because, I don't know.
I would have preferred if Yggdrasil died in the previous episode and this was all epilogue.
Or maybe in the first couple of minutes, like in Adventure.
Yeah.
And that was the final episode, was like, they did the final shots in the first minute, then we get the title screen, and then we get the goodbyes.
Rather than this one took like, what, 7.5, 8? Like, it took almost half the episode.
Yeah, I feel like it was half the episode. So how did you rate both these episodes?
The first one is like a 7. It's fine. Maybe that's optimistic, but it's a 7. I did not enjoy it. And the last one is a 9.
I think we more or less agree. I might have given it the first episode an 8, I believe. Yeah, I gave the first episode an 8 and the second episode a 9.
Nice.
So that's pretty good. I guess an average of 8. I would say of both these episodes together.
It's hard to say because that last bit is so good and it's just everything else is diluting it.
The epilogue's a really good epilogue and it's like, this might be...
It's the second best epilogue?
Next to Adventure?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adventure did have a strong epilogue.
It did. Even Atmon didn't have a good epilogue, did it? Well, didn't have much, did it?
Spoilers for Atmon. Haru is studying...
It's
short, and then
yeah, no, this is way better on than the that. Stairs. This is way better than that.
Yeah, it was still a good ending of Atmon, but
it was good ending. Yeah, but the thing is, it didn't need a big emotional thing because everything else was good and emotional, and you got it.
No, this was a good epilogue because it was all like.
Also, they didn't lose their buddies.
It also wasn't far off. Like, it wasn't a far off epilogue, like the 02 epilogue. It was all like 5 years later. So your character's more or less the same, maybe more mature.
Well, the thing with 02s is how unsatisfying it was that like there's so much time distance that the things that they're doing, either why would they have continued doing the same thing forever until they were 40, went from when they were 10, or did they literally not meet, like there are more than 10 characters, did they literally not meet any single person they could have fallen in love with?
Well, they did, the majority of them had a partner.
Did they? Oh, okay, no, they had randoms, that's right.
Yeah, they just had never randoms, talk about them. But the only ones who got married were Ken and Yoli and Yamato and Sora.
My original thing I was going to say, which is, I guess is more interesting, is there are lots of characters there I didn't like and they got endings I didn't enjoy and it was just unsatisfying.
Well, at least the CD drama fixed up Yoli and they actually said, oh yeah, Yoli's on maternity leave, but she actually works with Koshiro, I think.
As a lawyer?
Koshiro.
Izzy.
Koshiro is Izzy, yes.
Didn't he become a trial lawyer?
No.
Who did that?
Iori. He became a defense attorney.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, Iori. No, that's right.
Izzy's busy taking over America.
Yeah, he's busy having programs. But no, that was... Yeah, this is a really good epilogue. Had this both these episodes compared to Predictions and Nox Synopsis?
So I pretty much, for the first episode, I called pretty much the basic points of the combined ending. And I get one thing wrong of my primary predictions. I say, like, they fight Yggdrasil and they're successful, and nothing bad happens when they fight him. And yeah, they blow up most of the city, but I can't say it's bad because no one complains. So I'm going to take that one. To save their world, they have to sort of, like, not go back to the digital world, which is pretty close to their statement of, look, it's all unstable. We're not going to open up the portal again, at least not for a really long time. And that's essentially disbands, and it clearly does. And in the second episode, I say that they beat Yggdrasil at the beginning of the episode, and then they say goodbye to the Digimon. My only problem is I say that Masaru becomes the man of the house at the end, and I feel like, and I haven't listened back to Obnoxious Synopsis at all, but I feel like I might have said, like, he goes to the digital world. I don't know, but it's a totally reasonable thing to happen.
I don't think you did.
Nah, probably not. Either way, I got that part wrong, but the rest of it, I got pretty close. Reminds me of, there was a, at watching Wrestle Kingdom last night, there was a 10-second exchange between Okada and Naito where I called it move for move before it happened.
Huh.
I said, he'll do this, he'll do this, he'll revert into this, and then he'll do this, and then it'll be a kick out. And the exact thing happened. So sometimes I'm psychic and sometimes I miss the details. And I thought they'd be way worse than they were. So.
You're pretty like negative. I think, I might be wrong.
I thought the ending would suck.
Yeah, I think you gave it like a 5 or something.
I did. And no, I was totally wrong because I didn't think they would do the epilogue well. Yeah, and they did it perfect.
Which is like... The way you end a series is probably one of the most important things you can do when you're writing a series.
There is a very interesting thing I read once, which I think it's about novel writing, but I think it applies to TV shows just as much, which is the first line sells your book and the last line sells your next book.
Yes.
In this case, the first episode sells your series and the last episode sells your next one. So as
you
much-
You loved the first episode.
The first episode was good and I went, yeah, you might want to watch the rest of this. And then I got really, whatever. And this last one's really energizing. And I go, you know what? Maybe the Digimon's not the worst thing in the world. It is, but I've been fooled by how good this episode was.
No, well, Frontier's probably the worst season we can all agree on,
oh
I guess.
Oh my God, Frontier's
well,
trash.
You and I can agree on.
Let's find out what happens when I watch Cross Wars, that thing that no one likes except you.
No, Young Hunters is the one that no one likes except for me and Sam.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens when I watch Cross Wars, I guess. At the very least, it'll be invigorating that they're only like 20 episodes long.
Oh man, I have to create a new intro. I haven't even started planning the new intro for
nice.
Our Cross Wars coverage.
Let's go harass the voice actors until...
No, well, we've done the last two.
Yeah, no, but we can just harass the voice actors like we did with Tamus.
No, that was just because Prodigious was doing a special.
But how good would it be if it did?
Yeah, it's Digifuse. Oh man, the dub is apparently not we've only seen the first season of the dub.
And there's no English version for Young Hunters, isn't there? So there's like way yes. less episodes to do.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good for me.
Yeah.
It's great for me.
So we'll probably still do 2 a week, maybe. Yes, we'll still do 2 a week of Young Hunters.
I would want to do 4 a week.
Yeah, well, we're already doing 4 a week.
No, but I mean, like, because when we do 4 a week, we're watching 4, and that would be the same amount of effort to watch, but then to discuss
it
would
yeah.
take twice as, well, yep. would take 1.75 times as long.
Yeah, but I think the episodes more or less have less stuff in them than a regular episode of Digimon.
That is the worst thing you could possibly have said.
From what I remember, but I really enjoyed it.
Wow, I might die.
I can only...
Because nothing happens in Digimon usually.
I can remember, like, 3 episodes.
Is it all Schrodinger's filler?
Yes, except for, like, the first couple and, like, the last couple.
I kind of want to die.
It's, like, 25 episodes. What was the major difference between the Japanese and the English version? Because I didn't get that many differences.
It's just King and God, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, their inconsistent editing of Rosemon. They don't have, like, any standard for how they're going to edit out Rosemon's bust.
No, they've got nothing
They
for
give
it.
Her new clothes every time, but they're all different looking.
Just the burst mode changes the design. Don't worry about
no,
it.
No, but it's just regular Rosemon.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
And the really computery voice on the on Yggdrasil.
Also, the fact that she's a king yet has a feminine voice.
Oh, that's so weird now, especially.
I mean, there is a reason why Jeff Nimoy chose Izzy's voice actress for Yggdrasil, but we actually have a letter about it, so I won't go onto it. I actually did mention it in a recording that I believe it was either in the stage play or it was in our coverage of Tri Chapter 3, because all our recordings kind of merge into one when you do them all at once.
Boy, do they.
And it was just a headcanon that Jeff Nimoy has. So what were your quick thoughts about, like, the final episode, like, in general? Like, you've mentioned a little bit, but so this was a good ending? You were happy to finish it?
I'm happy it's over.
If there was a Saber's second season or, like, a continuation movie, would you want to watch it?
I'm not sure. Because, like, yeah, the ending was good, but leave it at that then.
Yeah, I feel like this was... I feel like I'm not thirsty for more Saber's. I feel like
no.
Tamers ended in a way where I was like, more?
Because it was such a weird ending, right? And also, Takato's the best.
Yes.
Like, and Gilmon's awesome. And, like, there's more there, right? You could see those characters developing and learning. But I guess because at the end of this one, the characters have developed and they've learned. And you're like, that's it. I'm satisfied with where they're at. I don't care about Masaru's further adventures in the digital world. I don't care about Yoshi's adventures as a policewoman. I don't even particularly care about Ikuto going to school, because I know he's doing good now, and that's
fine.
Yeah,
it was a good... I feel like it was a satisfying ending.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not, like, thirsty for any more. Like, it's not, like, left open-ended. Like, I'm not like, oh, but what about the children of the characters? Or, but what did Takato find down that hole? Did he find his Digimon? Did he go through the digital world?
Well, you know what it is? It's that no one is sad they lost their Digimon. No one.
Because because they all had a good reason for going back. They weren't just like, it was also voluntary. It wasn't like, we have to go back because we'll die.
Not
like,
we were forced to go back.
In Tamers, they were forced to go back and they didn't get really a goodbye. There wasn't like, you know, a couple of, there wasn't that time where they would just say, oh yeah, goodbye, we'll meet again. Like they did an adventure. And this ending was very similar to the adventure ending where they were all saying goodbye. Because even though they were forced in adventure, they were given some time to say goodbye.
Yeah, but it was something that you knew, like, they would want to go back. Whereas if people wanted to go to the digital world, they could, presumably.
And then there's Frontier, where they weren't really sad to say goodbye, but it was also, like, Frontier was an ending.
What do you mean? Frontier didn't have Digimon in it.
Yeah, well, they had Bakemon and Nemon, and Bakemon, the saddest part was Bakemon being sad that they were leaving.
But then he's like, I'll write about you, because yeah, I'm no, TK now. Yeah, he was like,
I'll come too.
That was the best part of that entire series. Yeah,
no, Bakemon and Nemon were the best part, and I was like, man, Jay's going to hate them.
Nope, why?
Only
funny.
Only redeeming thing about Frontier.
It's so funny.
Which really proves that what makes Digimon Digimon are the Digimon.
Yes, surprise.
Except for X-Evolution.
Well, it's the interaction between humans and Digimon, which is literally what this whole series is about.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the final couple of episodes?
Don't we have a whole recap?
I know, but that's like a recap of in general. I'm talking about like...
No,
the,
I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I think we like more or less discussed it throughout our individual episode discussions. Screenshot of the week. Mine's of cautious Yashima getting drunk with his Digimon, because you think about it. They're all having like these goodbyes. Masaru punches out his Agumon where they met. Gaomon makes tea. Yoshino and Lalamon go to an arcade because that's part of their character, apparently. Miki and Megumi polish off their Digimon's heads and then go to karaoke in a hot spring. And then we have Akuto and Falcomon who have like a tearful goodbye. Akuto wants to go too because his home is in the digital world.
It's all sad.
And then we have Yashima who's just drinking sake and getting drunk.
He probably always does that. It's probably just a normal night.
Yeah, it's fine for him. And it's like...
The weird part is that it's like outside on like the docks. He's just like crouching with his Digimon.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't he be in a bar?
No. I think that's what gives it some charm.
Does he also not have a house?
You know what I didn't like about the ending?
What?
No one's going to address about how much damage was caused.
Yeah, no, they literally never talk about it. Because like, remember, they just rebuilt the DAT's headquarters in 6 seconds.
Yeah. I feel like they just sort of, they did that for stakes, but I feel like they should have kept those stakes. Like, imagine if Yashima say, usually I do this in a bar, but because the whole world was destroyed, we can't go to a bar right now. What was your screenshot?
I forgot to take
one. You didn't send me one.
But I can tell you that what it would be, it's Masaru punching God in the face.
Good, because I actually have a screen cap of that, so it means I don't have to go back.
Easy.
I was going to compare it with Lalamon punching the arcade machine.
That's not the best comparison, but I mean, if
well,
you gotta...
Well, cool, it's an equivalent.
If you gotta, that's pretty much God the arcade... We played that arcade machine.
Yeah, we did. Well, you did.
Did you not?
I don't think I did, no. Man,
that's lame. It was good.
Yeah, that was in Odaiba.
It was so much fun. All the arcades in Japan were a highlight.
Yeah, if you ever go to Japan, like, you have to go to the arcades because, like... And also, the good thing is, like, not all arcades are the same. There's always, like, one machine that's not going to be at the other ones. Like, there was a table flipping one, which we hunted down.
Oh, my God, that was the best. I couldn't believe we found that so quickly.
Yeah, and we most of the time we're just, like, hunting specific ones because there was, like, a Reddit about it.
Yeah, and Gunslinger Stratos or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which only could play the tutorial of it. Which apparently because you have to like have the card.
You have to set up the Galilei account, like card.
Yeah, I wasn't aware at the time. I couldn't read
it's
Japanese.
Like, it's like your membership.
But, I wasn't aware.
Because all the people were playing online, there was that like 16-year-old, which is like, you are an anime character. Like, there's this 16-year-old girl with like her hat on.
You mean she's... the character from Persona 5?
I was going to say Umaru.
No, Persona 5, the kid with the hat and his bang.
Yeah, basically. There was like, you know, the little 16-year-old girl who was like crazy good, but she had like the headset on because she was like talking to her friends.
Super funny.
And I'm just like, this is like... Like, it was so great. Like, I wish we had arcades like that in Australia.
No, people just sit at home and do that.
Because, like, you have memberships. Like, you have little membership cards. And I believe the initial D game is like that in arcades in Australia, but that's it. But also, arcades are hyper expensive.
In Australia, they're absurd.
They're expensive because they're dead.
Yeah. Which is weird because when it, like, the cost of the arcade machines in Japan, like, you say 100 yen, and I think, oh, it's not that much because it's yen. But, like, that's $1.30 or whatever here. But why
but
is
they're
it...
They're also long plays.
They're longer plays, and, like, they're $2 here, or, like, sometimes they're, like, they're really expensive.
Sometimes, like, $4.
It's absurd.
I'm pretty sure DDR is $4, and you get, like, one song.
Why $4? Like, what? That's not the amount of money for the experience.
And also, they're dead because they're expensive, and they're expensive because they're dead.
That's pretty much it. And I think the problem is, like, oh, well, how do you... What's your startup cost for an arcade machine? Well, you got to buy this incredibly expensive machine, And then you have to hope people use it.
And you have to have maintenance on it. But I believe...
Yeah, if they break, you're screwed.
That the time zone that also has the laser tag attached, that we went to back in university quite a lot, they had a really good thing where it was $25 on Friday nights from like... I want to say like 8 p.m. to midnight.
Yeah.
And you had unlimited laser tag. You would just say, hey, want to play laser tag?
Yeah.
And you would have unlimited access to arcade machines that weren't like the ones that give out prizes.
Yeah. It was sweet. There was one in Surface Paradise that did that too. Time Zone does that a lot. And it's a great system.
Because it's $25, but you can laser tag already. Like one session of laser tag can be $25 anyway.
Yeah. We played so much laser tag. That was such a good time.
Why don't we could do that anymore?
We could. Could do it tonight.
We could do it tonight. I'll see if people are available.
It's pretty short notice. Probably next week.
Yeah, probably next week.
Okay.
And we'll record on Thursday, I guess. It'll be a short episode anyway.
Could be.
Because we're back at work.
Wow, it's a really short episode, isn't it?
Yeah, next week. Looking
forward to that. Yeah. After the week of hell.
Yeah. But we are on holidays. Hell, so that made it a little bit easier. At least it wasn't hot. It's going to be tomorrow. 40 tomorrow. Digimon design introduced. I guess Yggdrasil's not a Digimon. What do you think of like the feminine like figure that was Yggdrasil?
It left no impression on me whatsoever. Cool.
It shattered like glass when he punched it, which was cool. Agumon burst mode.
I think it's silly. Like, it was cool at the time, but the more I think about it, the sillier it is. Because, like, he literally grows double in size so that Masaru can ride him.
Yeah, basically.
And then he's just got energy wings.
For Pokemon Path this week, first up, our weekly poll, which we didn't get any comments to, but we did get votes. So we got 15 votes, and the question was, which version of Yggdrasil do you prefer? So there was Digital Monster X Evolution or Digimon Savers. What do you prefer?
Well, Savers, obviously. I think that this one, like, you can understand what it was, more or less, and it had a clear motivation, even though the base of that motivation was not great. But you understood it, right?
Yes.
It made sense. The Yggdrasil in X Evolution is complete nonsense, and I noticed it's not even on the poll, the one for Try is unclear.
I didn't include that in the poll because we haven't seen it.
I really feel like it's what the Genai thing is.
Nor do we know anything about the Yggdrasil. Like, we don't really know what its motivation is.
No, there's like
we
nothing.
Don't even know who is good in this situation.
What if it showed up and was like, Kurata, I'll get you this time!
Because we also know in Try that homeostasis may not be necessarily good either.
No, well, the thing is, good is subjective, right? Because homeostasis never pretended to be good.
Because we had Jessmon, Elfmon, and Omegamon all fighting each other in Chapter 5, which implies that everyone's on a different side. So yeah. We don't know which one is better at this point.
I think the idea of homeostasis being, like, quote-unquote good is something that's misleading from the sense that they were fighting evil people.
Yeah.
Whereas homeostasis, their entire idea is harmony and balance. And if things are too good, balance is bringing evil into the equation.
Yeah, well, I think that homeostasis and Yggdrasil are more or less two sides of the same coin. I feel like they're very similar in the way that, for example, in Savers, Yggdrasil was like, I'm going to reboot the world now. And that's more or less what homeostasis did for the digital world. And it's what Yggdrasil wanted to do for the world in X Evolution. But it is quite similar that is their desire, and that they desire stability and they want to reboot the world, and it is similar between them. So are they that different? So the results were Digimon Savers won with 13 votes. Digital Monster X Evolution Yggdrasil only had 2 votes.
It was crushed.
Yeah.
And we have a Gmail from Kylone, which says, it could be that someone's already brought this up, but here it goes. In the English dub, King Drazel, in his final form, is voiced by Izzy's voice actress, and I've heard a rumor that the reason for this is the fact that Jeff Nimoy basically headcanons that all of Savers/Data Squad is a simulation created by Izzy in the future to observe how humans and Digimon could have a peace despite all odds being against it. Which only makes sense now, having seen the final episode and Yggdrasil is a computer that was designed for this purpose. Every moment before that was mentioned, it made no sense whatsoever, but now I could kind of see it. But at the same time, what doesn't make sense about that is that if he created a computer to observe, then Yggdrasil wouldn't have to have a force in that world because it would be an observer. It wouldn't do anything. So if he did program it, he programmed it really badly with like the wrong mission. They'll say this is the closest thing they could find to a source when looking it up. And they love to hear our thoughts in this theory headcanon if we'd like to bring it up. So I think it's interesting. We talked about it last week, but I was like, I can't see any evidence.
No, it wasn't last week. It was like 2 days ago when we did. It was, and as I said earlier, it was either the Try episode or the stage play episode where I mentioned this theory.
It's all flowing together. We brought it up recently, but I said there's no evidence. Now there's a tiny bit of evidence, but I just don't see this thing, if it's an observer robot that Izzy designed, that it would intervene in everything. And also, Izzy would never design his robot to prioritize the prioritize the digital world over the human world, right? I don't see that one either. So assuming the entire thing is a simulation, it doesn't make sense for the Observer to be doing this. On the other hand, I think it's a cool idea.
Mm.
We got one from Ember Moto, who says, regarding episode 45, once again, the Cryos have their baby in the same room where they're doing experiments concerning a gate to the digital world. Starting to think that the Cryer family might not be fit to have children.
Well, that's why they're called Cryers, because they cry all the time because they keep on killing their children, or rather losing them.
Oh, sensitive. Nice. I'm actually surprised that Marcus tried talking to Drazel first before trying to punch him. Thought he would punch first, ask questions later. And are Rosemond and Ravenmon? Fair enough.
Ravenmon, yeah.
Supposed to be flirting?
I didn't get this part.
Because it kind of seems like they're giving each other looks while fighting and paying more attention to each other than the enemy they're supposed to be fighting. I also didn't get that sense.
Yeah, I didn't get that sense, but maybe. I mean, they had the same evolution episode, so maybe they're meant to get along. And maybe, like, we saw Akuto and Yoshino hug each other during the intro.
They're just best friends, okay? It's fine. The 15-year-old is not dating the 20-year-old police woman.
Well, the 10-year-old and the 18-year-old.
Yeah, pretty much.
But in the epilogue, yeah.
We are 3 episodes from the final, and Liamon is still alive. Oh, this is an old email. Yeah, well, he's not going to be. Don't worry about it.
We got the email today, so it's not that old.
Marcus's dad is a Liamon. Oh, boy, that's not good. Methinks the dad might not make it out of this alive. Maybe this is like something that was written at the time.
I think it's like written. I think it's basically their notes.
Fair enough. So 46, why would Christy be able to tell if that was Spencer or not? That's what I forgot to... Oh, wait. Yeah, she was just a baby when he left. Something I forgot to mention, just on this note, in the English of the last episode, Christy says, talking about Craniumon, he's holding up just like my dad was.
Yeah, because Craniumon said that was the dad.
Did Craniumon say it was Suguru?
Yeah, Craniumon said, child, this is your father.
Oh,
when Mantleumon was still holding up the world.
I forgot. Okay, that's fine. I know this is probably some shared body or mind swap thing, but it would actually make a lot of sense if Marcus was part Digimon. It would explain his unnatural strength and his ability to fight Digimon by himself without Agumon's help. I would only suggest that the only reason that doesn't work is because they didn't know Digimon existed when he was born.
Unless Sayori cheated on Masaru with a Banchaleomon.
You think that, like...
Banchaleomon is really actually his father.
Was Sayori one of the original victims of, like, getting abducted to the digital world by accident?
Yeah, but she came back.
But
she was pregnant with Banchaleomon.
That's so dumb.
Because we don't actually know what the compatibility is between Digimon and human,
one
right?
Would assume none. Because why would Digimon have sexual organs?
My OTP
they have eggs.
Is Sayori and Banchaleomon now.
No, it's not.
It is now.
Banchaleomon appeared to the kids before this point. So at that point, was Banchaleomon just Banchaleomon and not Spencer?
No, Spencer.
He couldn't explain it was because then Yggdrasil would know that other people knew. And that was important because it was a test for some reason.
Yes.
Although the crisis of the human and the digital world didn't exist yet at that point. Yes. So it was a test of nobody for no reason. This is a very confusing explanation as to when Spencer and Liamon combined. And here's a thought. Digivolve. Why don't you kids digivolve your Digimon? Why are you having them fight the Digimon King at rookie level? I don't remember this part. But fair enough. That's true. They should try it. And eventually it worked out. On YouTube, we got one from Ataro, who says, it's a shame you guys only got to the manga reward stuff when you did. Save as the next share concepts. So it would have been pretty interesting to see both talked about. Oh well, they're just happy to see these things being talked about to begin with. On to next. Thing is, though, we got the Omake for Savers during this time, so it would have been weird to...
What do you mean Omake for Savers? There was no Omake for Savers. It was Frontier.
I just assumed they went through all of them.
No.
I forgot already.
Well, the good thing is, since we know everything about Savers, we can talk about it without any, like, omittance of spoilers.
Yeah.
If we're covering at the same time, we wouldn't be able to say certain things, and this way we'll be able to see in hindsight of having seen Savers to completion, because the Digivice in Next is an IC.
Is Next its own universe?
Yes.
Weird.
Basically every season is its own universe, except for Adventure and 02. Yes, so even the games as well, they're all in the same different universe.
We got one on Tumblr from P96822, who says, first of all, you guys don't like Mako, and we used to like Mako.
We like Mako, but we don't like the treatment of Mako in Chapter 5. It was okay in Chapter 4. Like, no, I don't think she was really that much in Chapter 4, was she?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but in Chapter 3, and we mentioned this in our coverage of Chapter 3, is that she was it was perfect in Chapter 3. It had, like, the correct amount of time that was spent on her. She was upset, obviously. She was allowed to be. We had focus on her father. That's good. That's plot. We had characters caring for her. That's good. They're her friends. But the whole episode wasn't just talk to Mako.
I'll rephrase my answer to this question, by reframing it. Look, I'm not saying I don't like John Cena as a person. Yeah. I love John Cena as a person. He's a great guy. I just hate the way John Cena was booked as a wrestler from 2006 to 2013. Because he won all the time, and the show was all about him, and he made everyone else look like crap.
And John Cena's good now.
And he's great now because they fixed him, and they didn't make the show all about him, and he put other people over. Which, if Mako does that in number six, it'll be great. I hope she starts selling for Mimi. That'd be great. Because right now, she's like the super Mako, and no, it's boring to watch.
I feel, yeah, chapter five was basically just like characters saying Mako, what, telling Mako that she shouldn't be upset.
She's the most important and the most special, and she's so cool, guys. Don't you love Mako?
Yeah, and that was annoying because people already were complaining about Mako fairly early on.
And I thought those people were stupid.
Yeah, we both said, that doesn't make sense. Like, people saying, oh, she's getting in the way of ships. She's...
In the way of ships, get out of here.
She's taking like the limelight away from all the other characters. And you know what? That was all false until chapter five, and now I agree with that.
Completely.
I mean, like, okay, not so much the ship part because I don't care, but I think because people
ship... The limelight thing.
People ship Tyora, so Ty and Sora.
So do I.
Yeah, so do I. Well, now I do. I didn't as a kid, but now I do. But people are saying...
Taste.
People are saying that Mako is getting in, like, in the middle of that ship.
No, she's with Mimi, obviously.
Obviously. Okay, my main objection
is Mei-Mei.
I'm joking.
No, you're fully serious.
No, I'm fully serious about Mei-Mei. They're the best. But the point is that I think we've mentioned it lots before. Like, I used to think that the people who didn't like Mako before were like not looking into it the way they should, or like just salty because there's a new entrant to their precious thing.
A shiny new toy.
And they hated her because of it. But I feel like in chapter five, basically their complaints are almost real. But I don't want to be lumped in with the people who hate Mako because I didn't hate Mako to start with. I feel like she was a fine entrant, but now chapter five was not a fun time for me. And that's fine. Like, it's fine if people like chapter five, but I just didn't. And I'm hoping that chapter six doesn't have her as the limelight, but I'm worried considering the poster.
Can we get this question? What's your favorite Digimon series that's not Atmon?
Tamers.
V-Tamer.
I think he means anime.
Not what it says.
Digimon series? Okay, V-Tamer, yeah.
It's V-Tamer. It's the best. It's the best thing out of all of them.
But what about anime-wise? I would have said try,
but that's not true because it got ruined.
Unless chapter six is amazing.
It has to be. Oh god, because Tamers is good, right? But
actually, it's
probably Tamers. I was like leaning towards Adventure, honestly. But Adventure has so many boring parts.
I feel like you were bored during. I think you're even bored in Tamers as well.
The whole Digital World arc is a waste of my time. But everything else was pretty good.
I feel that I know I said Tamers like a knee jerk, but like
also Kenta and Kazu are a waste of space.
Yes, correct. And Marine Angelmon. What the hell?
And the sister didn't. As much as I love Lotmon being around, not need to be there.
I liked their relationship.
It was cute.
But I think actually Savers, I feel like it jumps between like, do I like Tamers more or do I like Savers more? But I feel like Savers is a little bit more grown up maybe. And even though people say that Tamers is quite dark, it's not like...
I think the themes of Tamers are much more grown up than
Yeah, they
this.
Are grown up, but I feel like it's not... It sort of just comes out of nowhere sometimes in Tamers.
Yeah, they definitely could have put more groundwork into it.
I feel like Savers does really well with how important Masaru's dad is. Like, that's the first thing we know about his character, basically, is that he wants to be a man because his father's gone and he, respects his father a lot. But it never sort of, like, in Tamers we didn't get anything that was that, like, long-lasting. We knew all about Toma being kind of a little bit anxious about Masaru coming in and being amazing at his job. And Yoshino could have had better working. I feel like Ruki is much better written as a female character.
Yeah, for sure.
Than Yoshino, but I feel like the series of Savers might be better than Tamers, but it's really hard because both of them have pros and cons, and I feel like I have to like literally sit down and like work out the pros and cons between the seasons because
that makes sense.
I really like them both, but in terms of like the whole franchise, V-Tamer.
Yeah, for sure.
Like even though it doesn't really have like any strong female characters really,
Mari's
like,
great. Leave me alone.
No, I mean like the main characters.
Oh yeah, well Rey. Is kind of a main character.
Yeah, I guess she does like.
She's very strong, but Jesus.
She tries to commit suicide.
Out of pure strength.
Yes.
Force of will.
So V-Tamer, I guess, like, if we're counting everything in the franchise, and if we're not, like, it is hard to choose between Savers and Tamers because both of them have issues, but both of them have strengths. Maybe Savers. It's hard.
It's difficult. We got one from Trickstar Holy Angel who says, I know we've mentioned JoJo's an awful lot. So they've mentioned JoJo's an awful lot when talking to us. But when I brought up the idea of there being a Ryo in every universe with parents and how that would be wrong. They thought that about Funny Valentine from Part 7 of JoJo's. So Funny Valentine would probably be a stand. I have not read Part 7, but this isn't much of a spoiler. It's just, it's about a stand's ability, which is to jump universes. But there's only one universe where the character has a stand. And so when he dies, the other universe's Funny steps in and takes the stand.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, which technically makes him look immortal. That's really funny. I haven't read Part 7. I should read it. So what if this is the only Ryo with parents, and when one Ryo leaves, another comes through and gets parents?
Mm.
So like their Ryo is gone. He's off in a different universe, and the Ryo from the games has walked through and gained parents.
Yes.
And we got one from Ellie Vorg, who says, there's a bit of a difference in the part where Masaru explains how he feels about his dad. Masaru wants to become as great as his dad because he looks up to him and wants to be like him, which is built out of pure childlike idolization and love. Marcus wants to become as great as his dad because he feels overshadowed by him. Masaru is the first one. Marcus wants to become as great as his dad because he feels overshadowed and wants to live up to the expectations born from being his son, which gives the sense that he's unhappy about the fact that his dad is so great when it makes him look bad in comparison. Also, Digisol has been established to act as a shield since Masaru punched Cranium on spear without getting hurt. Toma saw this, so he'd know it was safe to fire at him. And think about it, it had never been proven not to work as a shield before that moment, because no one other than Masaru has been reckless enough to jump in front of an attack while cloaked in Digisol. Well, the problem is that he hit the shield with his fist, and his fist is the most indestructible, powerful weapon in the world. So he hit the blade with his fist. So, like, it doesn't really mean much. At the same time, like, it's a very risky conclusion that they never talk about how risky it is to just attack him in the air when they have Digimon that can fly and could have just caught him and would have been fine. They'll say, well done to me for guessing that the Bancho Leomon twist. Called it.
I think you called it fairly on, but I feel like you said it as a joke once. You're like, oh, what if Bancho Leomon's his dad?
I called it as a joke early, and then about, I think it was 6 episodes before the twist was actually revealed, I was like, no, I really think it's this now. They were worried for a while I wasn't going to get it. On their own first viewing, they actually managed to guess it was as early as the dojo episode. From the beginning, they figured it'd be a cool twist if Masaru's dad turned out to have been someone they'd known all along, so they were constantly on the lookout for possible candidates. Their earlier guesses included Yushima and Mercurimon, but when Bancho Leomon turned out to know a lot about Digisol, they're like, yep, it's him. And however, they don't know why we expected Masaru to be able to figure this out. We all know he's a simple-minded idiot who takes everything at face value. Yggdrasil looks like his dad, so it's his dad. Well, the problem is that, like, all the evidence is there, and even though he's kinda dumb, like, eventually when you beat someone over the head enough times with facts, like, I don't even think he should work out that his dad is Bancho Leomon. I think he should have worked out that his dad is not in there. That guy is clearly possessed. Or even if he's in there, he's possessed and not in control of himself, so it's not really his dad. All of that was there. Bancho Leomon looks like a big lion man, so he's a big lion man. It would be out of character if Masaru had thought things through enough to realize that actually Bancho Leomon was probably his dad. No, I never thought he should catch that, because Bancho Leomon was clearly lying to him, and so it made sense for him not to figure that part out. Mostly I'm interested in him figuring out that Yggdrasil was not his dad. The dub makes it less reasonable for Marcus to not have figured it out, however, what with how King Drazel had a computery filter on his dad's voice and was outright claiming not to be his dad. And sure, Bancho Leomon died, but he's not very dead in the grand scheme of Savers. He was killed by Shine Greymon, so his egg will have been left behind, and since he had a human partner, he'll keep his memories when he hatches. That's about the least dead you can get. That means that he should have been hanging out with Bancho Leomon 5 years later in the epilogue.
Bancho Leomon dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Sorry.
Wait, we know that Digimon are reborn as eggs. Oh, but I guess he was a weird special case.
It's unclear, because maybe Bancho Leomon's gone and it was a human in a Digimon body. Which means that when... Maybe...
Well, his personality was there.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's how Suguru came back to life. He hatched out of an egg.
Oh, I wish we saw that. That would have been hilarious.
So the Digic happened and he got hatched and it just got accelerated by Yggdrasil, which means Bancho Leomon is dead.
No, or Bancho Leomon's personality is now in Suguru.
That's also really cool.
Why do we show that? Yggdrasil brought me back, and then like his voice changes, and he's like got the voice of Bancho Leomon, and he's just like he uses ore instead of what I can't remember if Suguru uses watashi or watakushi.
What about if when he shows up at the end to tell him to go polish his manhood? By the way, weird phrasing. Charge
your Digisol.
No, really, he's wearing a big scarf and he's got the hat.
Yeah, and he's got the pose.
The big leather jacket.
Like it doesn't even have to be like, obviously shown, just like, what if Bantleemon's still there inside Suguru and they're like buddies, they're men for life.
Men for life.
Adorable.
So as Suguru rushed Masaru to the hospital in the flashback, he told him, if you're a man, then bear with it. This is a very important line which explains why Masaru is so tenacious and refuses to let anything get him down or make him give up. Because as one of the few things he remembers, he's got it memorized. Is his dad saying to him, he would have clung to these words. The dub, despite insistently removing all mentions of manliness, actually did a good job of keeping this implication in its own version, which is everybody falls down. What's important is to get back up. And then when you get knocked down again, you get back up again. You're never going to keep him down.
Yay, top thumping.
And when Spencer was telling Marcus about the monkey bars incident in the dub, he said it was on Marcus's 6th birthday. Since he's been gone 10 years, this would make Marcus 16. However, in the dub of episode 1, it is stated that Marcus is in 8th grade, which would make him 14. He should have been held back.
Oh my god, I didn't catch that.
He should have not have been held back 2 school years, because if they want to establish that, they could have easily have mentioned it in the exams episode. The result is that Marcus has Schrodinger's age, where he's either 14 or 16, depending on the episode you're watching. Isn't the dub great? Totally missed it. That's hilarious.
I missed that. I didn't even think about it. I'm a little bit mad now. Thanks.
Thanks for ruining the entire show. No, that's what we do. That's our entire point of what we do. Is ruin the show.
I didn't even catch that, because we know that. Why dub? Why?
That's so strong.
Jesus, that was not fun. Thanks, dub.
All right, everybody. Join us for the next movie of Hina Logic. Digimon Savers the Movie. Ultimate Power, Activate the Bust Mode.
Which was never released in English, so there's no English title for this. So we'll be covering that. And for Weekly Wonders, I'm going to say Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1, which I only just started playing, but so far I'm really enjoying it. It is a game where it's very trope heavy, and it's very like hits you over the head with the fourth wall. It's kind of hilarious, and also lots of tropes. It's about like there's this world of game industry, and these four CPUs are like fighting over like who gets to be like the true ruler. We have a purple one, a white one, a black one, and a green one. And they're all based off game consoles. So the green one's Xbox, the white one's Nintendo, and she's like the most childlike. And,
of course.
She's actually the cutest. And the black one is PlayStation, and the
purple
one is
PC.
No.
Really?
Yeah, see, it's a Sega console that's failed.
That's Nep-Nep.
Nep-Nep, yeah.
Nep-Nep.
Who, by the way, is voiced by Rika in the English version. I was just going to be listening to it with the Japanese audio, because that's how I play my games, because I feel like I can try to pick up Japanese words.
What a weeb.
It's how I play visual novels, because I'm trying to like pick up words. But in this, I was looking up what each game console, each character was, and then I found out that we had Rika's voice actor, so now I'm listening to it in the dub. And then we have more characters who are other characters. We have Lotmon's another character, either Mickey or Megumi's one of the other characters. Lots of very famous voice actors are in it, and especially from Digimon. So just play it, because the main character is voiced by Rika, but it's more like the childlike, innocent Rika, which is Christy in Save in Data Squad.
Right.
So, but it is a really fun game. It was on sale because of the winter sale, which I'm not sure if it's still on or not.
No, it's just finished.
Oh, bad timing then. Sorry, guys. But no, it's
that's not too bad.
There's a whole series. And
it'll be on sale later.
I bought the entire series. Yeah, there's a sale every couple of months. So, I'm just playing the first one at the moment. I've only put like 4 hours in, so I just started. It is very, it's very much what I wanted in a game. It's got a controller support, so I'm using my 360 controller. It is good, and I recommend it, so I suggest play it. I'm bad at defining genres, though. It's like an action-y RPG.
Yeah, that's what I'd call it, for sure.
Yeah, but it's also got like story. It's got quite a developed
RPGs
story.
Have stories, yep.
Yeah, it's good.
That's the point of that.
I like it. What's yours?
So I didn't do much this week, but I do have a recommendation, which is a bit of a weird one.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. It's about the PlayStation 3 game Nier, N-I-E-R.
Yes, Nier, yep.
And here's the thing. I can't recommend you play that game, but I can recommend you watch the two best friends' Let's Play of the game, because the gameplay of that thing is not amazing, but watching all the story, it is one of the most fascinating video game stories I've ever seen.
Nier as in Automata, which is the new one, or Nier
that's
the
sequel
in...
to it.
Okay, so the original Nier.
Original Nier, which I was watching in preparation to play Nier Automata, because I don't want to play Nier. I own it, but I don't want to play it.
I've heard Nier Automata is quite good.
I hear it's amazing. I hear it's like, people who love Persona 5 and love Breath of the Wild are still like, you know, Nier Automata is the game of 2017.
Breath of the Wild.
There's a thing, like, I'll find out, won't I? Mario Odyssey came out And there's like, no, we love that game, but Nier Automata is the one. And Jesus. I'm fascinated why that is. And his, I now sort of understand like the mysteries of what's going on. And Nier is such a weird, cool game that does really experimental and interesting stuff that I can't talk about because it's massive spoilers. And I've never seen a game that is so easily spoilable, and like nobody, and the community is so good about it that no one ever talks about it.
Mm.
So I would definitely recommend you go check out that Let's Play or any other Let's Play of it, or look at the cutscenes and stuff. Although there's a lot of gameplay stuff you should see. And it's really, really good. It's got the best use of alternate endings to a video game I've ever seen. And it's great. I recommend it like really highly. Probably don't go play it, but if you want to, go play it. If you've got lots of time.
See, I haven't played it. I kind of wanted Automaton. I think it's on my wish list on Steam, but
you just borrow it from me.
I don't know. You have them on PS4, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Bones. Coolios. So, our weekly poll for this week is similar to our Final Frontier weekly poll. Should Suguru have stayed dead? So, obviously, this is the same as the should Koichi have stayed dead question from Frontier.
I wonder how different the results will be.
Yeah, and I'll probably compare them. But the thing is, like, I personally think that Suguru should have stayed dead. I know that we had the final moment of, yes, polish off your manliness in the digital world. And I guess it gave Masaru, it made Masaru seem less of a horrible person to abandon his family because he knows that Suguru is there, but that's not really stated. I feel like it could have been improved by having Banshee Liamon also inside the body of Suguru now. I could have chosen a better way to describe that.
Nice.
But I just think Suguru could have stayed dead, but then again, Masaru would have been a horrible person going to the digital world and abandoning his family. So it there's a bit of conflict there. Linked up in the description, and you can find our screenshots of our week and the weekly wonders and our weekly poll linked in the description and in our link dump. Our Red Bubble is also linked in the description, and you can get more than just shirts there too. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on @translationmon on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a discussion thread on With the Will and a Red thread in the Digimon subreddit, and we would appreciate if you would review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. Ratings do really help people find the podcast, and we really appreciate it, and we'll even read it out in Postmon Pat. We also have a website where you can vote in our weekly polls, check out our release schedule, check out our blog posts. You can also donate to our Patreon, which is linked in the description for as little as $1 a month, and that gets you access to a listener Slack chat group. But there are higher levels with more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more.
And thank you to our Patreon supporters, Sam Krieger, who has a podcast with Stevie called The Moncast, Stevie, who is also Stevie Padawan on Tumblr and is currently taking commissions, Ruching Long, who you can find at twitch.tv/Ruching Long, Metal Mamemon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki and the number one on YouTube, Chuckmon, Hiro Lotto, who's at Hiro Lotto on Twitter, Jason Morosky, Ryuchi, who's Frost Miragic on Archive of Our Own, and Inka.com/Raiden Allen, Stephen Reeves, who's at WildWing64 on Twitter, Kaidawashi, Mac, Noam, Riku, Chisai, who you can follow at Chisai236 on Tumblr, Kyle, Delady Bugman, whose anime blog you can find at bagubragu.wordpress.com, Glitchgoat, Azra McCool, Gene Hackmon, who hosts New World Sonata, which is a sci-fi and fantasy audio drama podcast, Matthew, Anthony, who's at Anto Classic on Twitter, Lismet, who's a Lechmon on Tumblr, Sithobi, Ellie Vorg, who's Ellie Vorg on Tumblr, Sporky McForkinspoon, who hosts Going Digital, another Digimon podcast, Megan, Kyliek, Neobu, The Time Optimist, Silverhead325, Harvey, Alex, Nicholas, and Thunder.
You can also make a one-off donation on our PayPal, which we found linked in the description. It is paypal.me/airdigimon. Make sure to listen to this podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Bye! Bye.